This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. An Arab television network broadcast a purported audio tape by fugitive dictator Saddam Hussein on Sunday, exhorting Iraqis to wage holy war against occupying forces and warning of more deaths for U.S.-led troops. In the northern city of Mosul, U.S. soldiers retrieved wreckage and bodies after two Black Hawk helicopters collided and crashed under fire on Saturday, killing 17 soldiers in the bloodiest single incident for U.S. forces since they invaded Iraq. Another five U.S. soldiers were wounded in Mosul on Sunday when a roadside bomb was detonated as their convoy passed. An improvised explosive device went off and there were small arms fire, said Specialist Joshua Hutchinson, a spokesman for the 101st Airborne Division. Our soldiers responded, but we had five wounded in action. The U.S. military fired a satellite-guided missile on Sunday for the first time since combat was declared over on May 1st, targeting an island in a river in northern Iraq where U.S. officers said guerrillas had set up a training camp. Turkish officials were investigating claims that the Al-Qaeda terrorist network was responsible for the car bombings that devastated two Istanbul synagogues and killed 23 people, the prime minister said early Monday. Two Arabic-language newspapers received separate statements Sunday claiming Osama bin Laden's group was responsible for the bombings, which Turkish officials said were likely the work of suicide bombers who detonated explosives in pickup trucks. There was no way to independently confirm the authenticity of the claims. Hundreds of anti-globalization activists held demonstrations Sunday as representatives of 34 Western Hemisphere nations started talks on creating the world's largest free trade bloc. Aides to trade ministers were preparing for meetings scheduled to begin Thursday when their bosses will try to create a framework for a creation of a free trade area of the Americas. A business forum starts Monday. Details of Sunday's meetings were not available to the public, said Richard Mills, spokesman for the U.S. Trade Representative Robert Zolnick.
More news after this.
Hi, I'm Morgan Freeman. America's national park system is one of the best ideas our country ever had, and I've got a lifetime of memories to prove it. But our parks are in trouble. Inadequate funding and other pressures are risking some of America's most awe-inspiring places. To help, visit www.americansfornationalparks.org or call 1-800-NATPARK, 1-800-NATPARK. There's just too much to lose.
Just figuring out how the thieves were able to make off with a painting as long as a sports utility vehicle has been tough enough. But Portland police are finding clues even harder to come by. The 117-year-old Russian painting, the first major art theft to be reported in Portland since 2000, was valued at $80,000 but was not insured. The painting was not hanging on the wall but stacked behind another painting, and more expensive paintings hanging in a gallery weren't touched. The thieves left through the front door, which they pried open with a crowbar.
For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, Sneezy, go to sleep.
I can't.
You could if you take NyQuil. It'll help your symptoms. So you'll sleep great. You know, like you do when you cuddle on the couch with a warm fleece blanket, a cozy fire, and a chick flick.
Now that's my kind of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved Liquicaps.
Where's George? Remember him? Mr. Smoke 'em Out, Mr. Bring 'em On, Mr. Top Gun, who pulled that stunt landing on the aircraft carrier, strutting for the cameras under a White House banner declaring, "Mission accomplished." But now that nearly twice as many soldiers have died in Iraq after they raised that banner than before it, and with coffins of our dead troops still coming home almost daily, where's the president who was so visible when sending troops off to war? The hard job is not sending them off, but seeing the boxes come home. Where's George in this hour of our national need? Bush has not attended the funeral of any American soldier killed in action in his war. We recently saw a photo op of him hugging a woman who had lost her house in the California wildfires, but he's simply been AWOL when it comes to appearing at the funerals of those shipped home from Iraq. His political henchmen say they don't want George to get mired down in the daily body counts.
Even when 15 Americans died in a Chinook helicopter that was recently shot down in Iraq, not a peep from George. He stayed way out of sight at his ranchette in Crawford, Texas. The White House political Machiavellians think that if there's no presidential focus on the deadly price of the Iraqi occupation, the public won't notice that things are going very badly over there. Indeed, the Pentagon has even barred the media from covering the arrival of the coffins at the air base in Dover, Delaware. And the Pentagon also has stopped reporting the number of soldiers wounded in Iraq, as though if they don't report it, it's not happening. This is Jim Hightower saying, the White House warmongers have isolated themselves from the harsh pain of their ambitions for empire. But if the sons and daughters of Bush, Cheney, and the other warmongers were the ones coming home in boxes, then you'd see a sharp change in presidential attitude and in policy.
Xie xie is thank you in Mandarin Chinese.
Is it really, Nancy?
Fan ti la is like cool.
Chinese lesson now.
Wow, Nancy, you're so smart.
Fan ti la.
You know everything. I should have watched MSNBC yesterday.
I want to be just like you. I figure all I need's a lobotomy and some tights.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Hey, good evening, truth seekers. Malloy here on Resistance Radio. Thank you very much for joining us this evening. Program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman is our announcer. The phone number here, if you'd like to join in the fun and frivolity, is 800-825-5937. That's 800-TALK-YES. And you can email during the program, mikedmalloy@earthlink.net. A little bit later in the program tonight, we'll have some sound for Rush Limbaugh. The big man wishes everyone could experience the wonders of rehab. I guess that's what he's saying. I don't know. Even all those people that he always recommended should go to prison forever. At some point this evening, my very interesting experience in Charlotte, North Carolina. Kathy and I went up there this weekend for, what's it called?
The Southern Christmas Show.
Southern Christmas Show at this huge convention center up in Charlotte. Whew. Lord have mercy. We'll share that with you a little bit later. This popped up. According to the Washington Post, I just want to drop this in. I hadn't planned on bringing this up right away, but somebody just sent this. Who just sent this to me? Somebody just sent this to me. Inspectors, U.S. inspectors have found no evidence now that Saddam Hussein ever tried to transfer chemical or biological technology or weaponry to terrorists. That's according to this report put together by David Kaye that you and I will never see in its totality because we're just American citizens and we're not allowed to see this. But the Washington Post quotes U.S. military and intelligence experts who have seen the report. And Anthony Cordesman, you will recognize his name, I'm sure, kind of a robust guy with glasses, a former military something who was on television quite a bit during Gulf War I and Gulf War II. Cordesman, who's a senior fellow now at the Center for Strategic and International Studies, provided new details about this weapon search in the report that was released this past Friday. I think it was released after all the news shows had gone to bed. I didn't see anything over the weekend about it. Of course, I didn't watch television this weekend. Maybe you saw it. Cordesman's report was based on briefings over the past 2 weeks from David Kay, the Bush crime family representative who is, quote, directing the search, close quote, for these unconventional weapons in Iraq. Quartisman wrote of David Kay's briefing in typical bureaucratic shorthand here, quote, no evidence of any Iraqi effort to transfer weapons of mass destruction or weapons to terrorists, end quote. Now, you remember that the Bush crime family last year justified the invasion and the death and the slaughter and the butchery of our people and Iraqis by saying that there was a significant risk that Saddam had or would provide chemical or biological weapons to al-Qaeda or other terrorists. So there's nothing left now. I mean, is there anybody, even right-wingers who have any shred of anything left to hold on to? I think not. That any of the justifications for this nation going to war were valid. None of the justifications were, which means that every single reason that Bush came up with is now revealed to be an utter and absolute lie. Is that an impeachable offense, to lie the United States of America into a war from which there appears to be no exit whatsoever? Is that impeachable? Should the entire Bush crime family be removed from office? Or does it take an act of oral sex between consenting adults in the White House to attempt to remove a president from office? Apparently, it is the latter. But for you right-wingers and conservatives and Republicans and Bush lovers who lurk around this program and you know, don't have the spine or the backbone to call in, and I understand that. I don't blame you for not calling in. Were I you, I wouldn't call this program either. But this removes, finally, every single justification that Bush put out there to lead us into this slaughter. Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these people? Oh, my God. A federal judge in Richmond, Virginia, has ruled that Wiccans, can pray also. Now, it was a case, this ruling came down last Thursday, a case brought against county officials outside Richmond, a county I used to live in, Chesterfield County. I lived there when it was still against law in Virginia for people of different races to marry. That's how backward Virginia has been. But a federal judge there ruled in a case that was brought against Chesterfield County officials by a Wiccan priestess who was barred from saying a prayer to open the Board of Supervisors meeting. See, this is what you get into when you don't honor and obey honor the idea of separation of church and state. See, and first the Christians will do it, and then you have a Jew or two, and then eventually the witches come out. They want to do it too, see? The district court judge there said the Chesterfield County Board discriminated against Cindy Simpson when it prohibited her from joining a list of clergy who deliver these ridiculous religious invocations before the beginning of business by the Chesterfield County Board of Supervisors. Now, of course, as you know, since you listen to this program, Wiccans say the religion is based on respect for the earth, respect for nature, and the cycle of the seasons. Boy, is that a filthy communist idea, huh? Boy, let's get rid of them. What? You don't have any blood sacrifice in the religion? What? No redeemers nailed to a cross? What? The judge said the county supervisor's board had violated Ms. Simpson's constitutional right of equal and free expression of her religious beliefs while allowing Christians to practice theirs by delivering the so-called legislative prayer, which has been upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court for use by a governing body. So you can do that. You know, if your little governing body wants to open with a prayer, fine. The catch is you have to make it available to everybody. And that's not what evangelical or fundamentalist Christians or Muslims or Jews or Hindus want. Their religion is the only proper religion, right? Ms. Simpson, who says she's not seen the written opinion, but she declared she was delighted with the decision and said it would bring credibility to witchcraft as a religion. I don't think so, Ms. Simpson. Not in Chesterfield County, Virginia. No, if you think it's going to be bring credibility to your religion, you are very wrong. What it will do is convince the knuckle-draggers in your county, and they are legion there, that the judge who issued this is a spawn of Satan. So I'm sorry, Cindy, it's not going to happen the way you think it is. The lawsuit was filed on behalf of Ms. Simpson last December by the ACLU and Americans United for Separation of Church and State. And the executive director of the ACLU called this ruling a victory for non-majority religion. Well, you can see it that way if you want, folks. But actually, it's just one more thing to incite the Christians to more bloodlust, the fundamentalist Christians in the South to more bloodlust. You know, more slaughter, more killing, more cross burnings. Somebody else to add to the list. You know, that sort of thing. Report out about the state of your state's health. Did you see this? It's pretty astonishing when you take a look at it. I mean, really get into this. Remember the red states and the blue states, right? The red states went for the Bush crime family. Those are people in the majority area of the United States. Not the majority population, but the majority area of the United States who said no to peace and prosperity and yes to death, destruction, economic chaos, loss of jobs, poor health, so on and so forth. Why, I don't know. But they ranked off 50 states, they being, it's a report put out by the American Public Health Association. It's called America's Health, the State Health Rankings. You know where this is going, don't you? The red states are full of sick people, sick, dying people, whereas the blue states are full of healthy, living people. Am I exaggerating? Well, just a tad. You're right. The best state in the union is a tie between Minnesota and New Hampshire. And, of course, Minnesota went for Gore. Let me give you, like, the top 12 or 14 here. In terms of overall health score rankings, which means good, 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 good. Minnesota, Vermont, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Iowa, Maine, Washington State, Rhode Island, Wisconsin. These were all states in the top 10, 12, 14 of the 50 states. These are also states who voted for Gore. This means these states had the best overall general health of the residents. And there were several factors they use. Now, what are the worst states? How about the bottom 15? Yeah, you're right. Here they are. Texas, North Carolina, Kentucky, Georgia, Florida, Alabama, West Virginia, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Arkansas, South Carolina, Louisiana, and at the very bottom, Mississippi. Now, you'll also notice that those are the states that comprise the old Confederacy. Isn't that sad? And those are all red states. Those are all states that went for Bush. And they are all at the bottom of public health. The states that went for good. Now, is that a coincidence? Huh? The rankings were based on state-by-state analysis of several public health statistics supplied by the federal government and other sources. According to the report, the factors included risk factors that are indicators of behaviors and activities that are related to the healthiness of a population, including prevalence of smoking, motor vehicle deaths, violent crime, risk for heart disease, high school graduation, children in poverty, adequacy of prenatal care, lack of health insurance, and financial support for public health care. So where does the South, the old Confederacy, rank? At the very bottom ass of that list. Isn't that sad? And every single state mentioned in the bottom voted for Bush. Isn't that even sadder? Well, now, did you, Kathy, did you see this reported on the evening news? I didn't see it. Damn, I guess I was just not watching the evening news, huh? But you folks in the red say, you Bush supporters, keep right on trucking, because eventually you people are just going to breed yourself out of existence.
Never. Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you take a feeling spotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts, because you can get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate. Remember, nothing lights up the road like halogen. And like everything Napa sells, our halogen headlights are manufactured to the highest industry standards. This is the good stuff. So come into Napa and get halogen headlights starting at just $4.99 after a $1 mail-in rebate.
Get the good stuff.
Napa. Get the good stuff.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Show. Who's on the newsmaker line? George W.?
I thought maybe you could ask me some of them questions.
Oh, okay. In the past, it appeared that Kucinich supported the global gag rule that you have enforced. What's your position on that?
Vice President Cheney assures me that the gag rule is very important in case I say something stupid.
Oh. What do you have in mind for the Middle East and the situation in the Korean Peninsula?
Gonna kill him.
You're gonna kill him, okay.
Gonna kill him.
Are you interested in an in-depth inquiry into the missing weapons of mass destruction?
Weapons of mass production are there. We found 2 trailers. Now, my daddy has an Airstream, so I know about trailers.
Yeah.
And if they roll over on a little car or something, there's a lot of destruction there.
Yeah, I see. Okay,
if they flip over in those desert winds.
Yeah.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
Got the flying monkey ride blues? Here's the cure, Mike Malloy.
And don't you know, all of us who live here in the states of the old Confederacy that are just suffering with job loss and low wages and poor public health and just right down at the bottom of the ladder on just about every social indicator possibly, don't you know that we're just going to continue to vote for Bush and continue to vote Republican and continue to listen to this drug-addicted, brain-addled Rush Limbaugh? We're going to do it every day, and by God, if you don't like it, you can kiss our butt. Huh? Because that's the way we are down here. The Iraq Advisory Council has lost a member, the Italian official there. This doesn't really come as a surprise, does it? How many Italians were blown away? When was it? About 10 days ago, Kathy, when the bomb went off? Italy's representative on Iraq's Coalition Provisional Council has resigned in protest at what he said were disagreements over the U.S.-dominated council's policy in the country, policies in the country. The statement by Marco Calami to Italian newspapers was, quote, I'm in deep disagreement with the policies of the coalition, whether they be about the economic reconstruction of the country or about the democratic transition. The provisional authority, said Calami, is not working. Yeah, well, sure. Europe knows it. The Brits know it. The American thugs who are raping and pillaging and destroying Iraq know it. The soldiers who are dying and killing know it. The Bush crime family knows it. Do you know who the only group left that does not know this, the truth? That's right. Us. We Americans. No, we're going to support because it's a we're fight because if we don't fight them in Iraq, we'll have to fight them in Chicago. Got an email here from Roger. He forwarded on to me our military attaché. If Limbaugh wants to spend each day stuffing 2 grams of OxyContin down his throat or half a pound of Bolivian marching powder up his nose, that's his business. It's a private, personal matter. And it should be of no consequence to anyone, especially liberals, especially the tolerant, compassionate liberals that Sean Hannity was commanding to forgive Rush last week. But, you know, this kind of reminds me of, say, that time Bill Clinton had a consenting relationship with a woman who wasn't his wife. It was his personal private business and had nothing to do with anyone else. And thank goodness Rush treated it as such and didn't make a big fuss about it. Because now Rush has admitted that he, too, is a mere human being with feelings and flaws, just like everyone else. And we can all just say, oh, that poor guy, how awful, instead of calling him a fat, hypocritical crackhead. To his credit, Rush doesn't actually want to be treated like a victim. I'm no victim and do not portray myself as such. I take full responsibility for my problem, said he on his radio show a month ago. Got that, ditto heads? Next time you feel a pang of sympathy for Rush, remember, he takes full responsibility for his actions. And reread this old quote of his. Quote, drug use destroys societies. Drug use, some might say, is destroying this country. And we have laws against selling drugs, pushing drugs, using drugs, importing drugs. The laws are good. Because we know what happens to people in societies and neighborhoods which become consumed by them. And so if people are violating the law by doing drugs, they ought to be accused and they ought to be convicted and they ought to be set up. So don't forget, ditto heads, Rush is always right. Huh? Keep that in mind. Did you hear him today? Did I listen? No, I refuse to. But Kathy got a couple of quotes off his program where he's talking about, I guess he saw the face of God. Is that it? Or else the face of the sheriff down in Florida waiting for his ass to get out of rehab so they can indict him or at least question him. You know, Rush was part of a massive drug ring. Illegal drugs, illegal prescriptions, street drugs, violating God knows how many laws, how many felonies were committed. So it's not over for Limbaugh. As a matter of fact, it's just starting. And, of course, if there is a God, which most of us know there is not, Limbaugh will spend quite a bit of time in prison where most of the drug programs have been gutted because we don't believe in that sort of thing in this country. You know, drug rehab, not unless you're rich. If you're a normal person, you do drugs, your ass is going to burn. This is my private place. Can we get me out of here?
In high places. They've stolen our country and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
The octopus is well known for its eight arms, and now it's drawing more attention for the extent of its intelligence. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Scientists have long assumed that animals that are very different from human beings are not likely to show high levels of intelligence, but they're finding that the octopus has a pretty good head on its many shoulders. Jennifer Mather is a comparative psychologist at the University of Lethbridge in Alberta, Canada. She and other scientists studied the octopus to learn more about the nature of intelligence in the animal world. Mather says many scientists have been surprised to find that octopuses can find their way through mazes and solve other problems.
They're also good at very simple manipulation things, like taking the lid off a jar because there's a crab hiding inside the jar and they want to get at it. And that kind of thing has been suggested to be intelligence as well.
Mather suspects the octopus might be able to recognize individual people and maybe even hold a grudge. She recalls a time when she saw an octopus in a laboratory opening the lid of its tank, possibly trying to escape.
So I took my hand and I banged hard on the lid and it came down and knocked the octopus back into its tank. And I came back the next day, sat down on the stool. The octopus lifted the lid just far enough, aimed the siphon, and jetted a jet of water at me. And I thought, he's out to get me now. He knows I did it, and he's going to get me when I come back. And in fact, the animal repeated that several times. So that octopus probably figured out that I was bad trouble for it, and it was going to be bad trouble for me.
The octopus is a mollusk, which makes it related to clams, snails, and oysters. Mather says the brain power of the octopus shows that advanced intelligence can evolve in animals that are very different from human beings. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylor Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
Not to put too fine a point on it, but media in this country have treated the return of Rush Limbaugh as if it were an important event. It's another junkie. Each junkie's disaster is a sad story. And I mean no disrespect to junkies by calling them junkies, but that's precisely what the situation is, as any addict or junkie will tell you. So we have Rush Limbaugh here, who is no more cured than he is the Emperor of Japan. He is in a temporary hiatus. God only knows what sort of drugs they have him on to keep him straight enough that so that Premier Radio Networks can get their investment out of him, and advertisers can continue to make money from his program. But anyway, Limbaugh, well, since it is apparently a very important event in American culture, we have three quotes that we want you to hear. This is from his triumphant return to the excrement in broadcasting golden microphone today. Rush attempts here to explain his rehab experience. Tell me if this makes sense to you.
I spent five intense weeks, probably the most educational and informative 5 weeks on myself and about me that I ever have spent, and I would have had no idea how to do this myself. And then there's a part of it that will be shared. But again, I'm really struggling. I want you to know that I've got mixed emotions. I'm so excited about what I've learned. I want to tell you all about it. And then there's another part of me says, no, that's not what you want. And so that's it.
Why don't you share it with the people you're going to be locked up with, big man? I'm so excited about what I've learned. Well, you know, far be it from me to get in the way of anybody's drug use or anybody's drug rehabilitation. You go, pig man. Rush explains here what rehab is really like. Sounds like fun. No difficulty here. You know, no vomiting and diarrhea down your pants legs at 4 a.m. No bugs crawling all over you. No screaming. No snot coming out of your eye sockets and blood coming out of your nose. Too bad here he doesn't get into the intricacies of pet the pony and clap therapy. But, okay, Rush, what's it all about?
Have you ever wished that you could take what you know at whatever age you are, 50, 45, 30, and go back to being a teenager?
No.
Well, that's what I guess is a good way to tell you what's happened to me.
Oh.
In the sense that the things I've learned, I can now not relive things, but yeah. It's going to give new meaning to the future.
Yeah, it will.
But I don't want anybody to get frightened about this now. This has no impact on what you have come to know, love, and respect here and expect, because I've not been phony here. I've not been artificial or any of that on the program. I was all that elsewhere.
Yeah, somewhere else.
I was all that other places.
Yeah, right.
But not here.
Yeah.
And all of this will reveal itself.
Yeah, right. Like any junkie who really is about 1/1,000th of the way on the journey to sobriety, Rush now wants his brain-dead, highly confused ditto heads to believe that Rush somehow mastered the intricacies of addiction. He was an addicted, slobbering fool, except for the 3 hours he was on the air. The 3 hours on the air, he was a very clear-thinking, rational human being who was able to lead his 20 million ditto heads to the promised land. Right? Why, of course. Well, you see, he had no OxyContin in his blood during those 3 hours he was on the air, and he was not popping anything. Somehow, through the magic of, I don't know what, the tooth fairy, during the 3 hours a day that the pig man was on the air, his bloodstream was magically purified of OxyContin and Vicodin and whatever other drugs his housekeeper managed to score for him in the parking lot at Denny's. And his ditto heads are sitting back today going, oh, yes, put your hand on the radio, Rush. Oh, sweet Jesus, you're back. Oh, Rush beat drugs. Mom, Rush beat drugs. Yeah, it's really fun. What was this? I don't want anybody to get frightened about this. Frightened about what, you jackass? You're just another stumbling, falling down, puking all over yourself in the morning. A drug addict. Frightened about what? A lot of families have them, you know? And your ass is doomed. You're going to be a junkie, Rush, until you have hit rock bottom, dude. And you still have a long way to go. So in the meantime, yeah, it's very entertaining to hear you talk about Pet the Pony and let's sing Kumbaya and all the things you've learned and not to be worried. What are we supposed to believe by that, by the way? This statement about the things I've learned, I can... it's going to give new meaning to the future. And then he says, but I don't want anybody to get frightened about this now, huh? What? Are you afraid that your brain-dead morons are going to think you've become a liberal? That all of a sudden you've developed compassion? Just because you spent, I don't know, how many days, Rush, puking green bile all over your nice, white, hospital clothing, huh? Wait till round two. Rush, that's when it really gets bad. Now, one more. Finally here, he wishes, this is how he wishes everyone could share in the wonderful experience that is detoxing off a 5-year heavy-duty narcotic addiction. Wow! Where do we all sign up?
As I say, I'm really eager to share these last 5 weeks with you because I think that they are... things that could benefit people.
No,
things that could benefit you, anybody, whether you have an addiction problem or not.
Not really, Rush.
But I'm not qualified to teach it. I'm not qualified to perform it.
Or do anything.
Who I am.
Yeah, it's
and who
you.
I am is what I bring to the Golden EIB microphone.
EIB.
Always have, always will.
Yeah.
And so you will, you'll hear it.
Yeah.
And those of you watching on the Ditto Cam, you will see it.
The what?
And it's wonderful.
Yeah,
it actually is an amazing thing. I wish everybody could do this.
You hear him knocking the spiders off his arms?
It's reserved for certain kinds of situations.
Knock the spiders.
It's so beneficial to one and all.
Because we're not all junkies, maybe? Pigman, is that it? You don't know why this kind of thing is reserved for certain kinds of situations. No, they're not situations, Piggy. They are junkie, drug, vomit, addiction. That's what you are. You are a green bile spewing freak who decided you could eat this weird candy and everything would be fine. So for 5 years, you involved yourself and other people in felony after felony after felony. And now you're going to sit here and say it's wonderful, it's an amazing thing to go through detox? Why, you stupid moron, praise Jesus. Mom, Rush beat drugs. Woo! How about that? Let's take up a special offering here for Rush Beat Drugs. But isn't it, see, now I can talk about these things because I had a front row seat. I lived with a woman who was a serious addict, alcoholic and junkie. It was awful. It was really a horrible thing to learn or to watch. I mentioned this last week. I wound up in Al-Anon. I was going to Al-Anon sometimes twice a day just to cope and to learn how to detach from this person. And eventually, move on. And the last I heard, she is still in the gutter, or she's really in the gutter now, someplace up in Tidewater, Virginia. But it's a real shame to see. If Limbaugh thinks he's beaten anything after 30 days, or however long it's been since he went into this plush, the reports that he got out on Wednesday, you know what he's been doing since Wednesday? Honking up as many Oxycontins as he can get his pudgy hands on. Just so he could go back and face his audience.
Well, it's wonderful. I don't know why this kind of thing is reserved for certain kinds of situations when it's so beneficial to one. And
yeah, good luck, buddy. Good luck. But I have a little secret for you, Rush. The spiders are going to return. They're going to return, and when they come back, the second and third and fifth time, Rush, they keep getting bigger and bigger until finally those spiders are about the size of bushel baskets. And when you start puking up your bones, that's when you might be near a cure. You think you're cured now? Yeah. Kurt is calling from Chicago. Hey, Kurt.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Doing fine, sir.
Good. I boycotted as well. Sometimes I do listen during the day, but I couldn't listen today because I knew it would just be trash. But I did hear a quote tonight on the TV. I don't know which program it was on. It was Rush about people calling him a hypocrite. Mm-hmm. Basically, it went something like, if I was saying what was right, does the fact that I was not doing what was right alter what I was saying was not right or make what I was saying not right? It was the most unbelievable double talk.
Right. Well, that's Limbaugh.
And I just love it. You know, it's of course WLS today talking all about, you know, how what a hero he is. He admitted it. You know.
Aww. Yeah, he's a hero. He's a felonious thug who partnered with God knows how many narco-terrorists to undermine law and justice in this country. God knows how much of the hundreds of thousands of dollars that Limbaugh spent went to fund Al-Qaeda.
Exactly. And, you know, I do work for Big Pharma as well.
Oh, well, you would know.
So I know, and we go through hours of training about samples that get diverted and everything. And it costs billions of dollars to the country. And wasn't it President Bush who said that the illegal drug trade funds Al-Qaeda?
It was either he or the religiously insane Crisco boy, John Ashcroft. But not Limbaugh. Limbaugh had a wonderful experience. He spent 5 years just being stoned 24/7. Except, did you get the bit there that we played where he said he essentially what he said was,
well, you know, I wasn't stoned when I was on the program. Only the other 21 hours of the day, not the three I was on the air.
must have stopped taking it beforehand and then popped them in at 3:01 or whatever.
It's such a typical what's the word I'm looking for, Kathy? Enabling kind of statement, rationalization.
Yeah, well, I was this terrible, terrible person, but not when I was around you. When I was around you, I was sober and I wasn't killing things.
I've heard it before 1,000 times. And to listen to Limbaugh when he talks about,
well, you ever think, if you just go back to being a teenager,
he's already back at being a teenager, this idea,
all these things I've learned, I don't know why, it's only reserved for people who are junkies and felons and ready to go to prison. Why didn't everybody go through rehab?
That's a typical junkie reaction on the first go around. Typical junkie reaction. Why didn't everybody go through this,
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, like I say, wait for round two. Hey, Kurt, thanks for checking in, pal.
You're welcome. Thanks.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. Am I being cruel? If I can. Yeah, if I possibly can. I want to be as cruel and denigrating and sarcastic and snotty as I can about this punk, this thug's so-called rehab. One of his programs, he said, I got a whole list of them here. Drug use, some might say, is destroying this country, and we have laws against selling drugs, pushing drugs, using drugs, importing drugs, and the laws are good because we know what happens to people in societies and neighborhoods which become consumed by them. And if people are violating the law by doing drugs, they ought to be accused, and they ought to be convicted, and they ought to be sent up. That's right, Rush. He also said, we're becoming too tolerant as a society, folks, especially of crime in too many parts of the country. This country certainly appears to be tolerant. Forgive and forget. I mean, as well as I do, you go out and commit the worst murder in the world and you just say you're sorry. And people go, oh, okay, a little contrition. People say, I feel better. Say you're sorry for it. We're becoming too tolerant, folks. That's the Limbaugh that these right-wing ditto thugs, like to suck up to. Well, where are you now, ditto thugs, huh? He also said, this is August 18th this year,
these tough sentencing laws were instituted for a reason. The American people, including liberals, demanded them. Don't you remember the crack cocaine epidemic? Crack babies and out-of-control murder rates? Liberal judges giving the bad guys slaps on the wrist? Well, finally we got tough, and the crime rate has been falling ever since. So what's wrong? Of course, not the crime rate in my family. Hell, I'm a one-man crime wave. I've driven up the crime in Palm Beach County by a factor of 9.
Well, he didn't say that part, but see, so, it's that sort of thing. I have no mercy for a hypocrite. I don't care. I don't give a tinker's damn. Rush Limbaugh is a hypocritical, lying, felonious, law-breaking junkie. And he's not going to make it. I can tell you that right now.
Why? Because you're an expert?
No, because I've been around enough drug users and crackheads and alcoholics in my lifetime. You can spot the people who are going to make it. He's not one of them. Dr. John here in Springfield, Missouri might disagree, but Dr. John, welcome to the program.
Disagree? Hell, I'm trying to figure out something new to say. I tell you what, I'll make a prediction.
All right.
Within 60 days, he'll be sucking so hard at the drug tit and filling his fat gut so full of pills, you won't be able to see straight.
I would imagine, stepping aside from the fact that this is the pig man, when you're addicted to this kind of stuff, from everything I have been able to find out, you are not, unless your name is Jesus or Gandhi, in which case you wouldn't do it to begin with, but you're not going to break an addiction like this in 30 days.
Absolutely not. Incidentally, we learned something interesting from him today. Remember when he said that he had been to detox twice?
Yeah.
Well, it turns out that it was self-detox.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah, that's what he said today. It was self-detox.
Self-detox.
In other
I
words,
see.
He didn't stuff them in his gullet, for an hour or two or whatever.
Yeah.
When I was listening to that fat fool for the first 30 minutes when he was talking about himself and and patting the horse. Incidentally, if I pat my kitty, is it the same as patting the horsey?
I don't know. Hold on a second, Dr. John. I got to do a break here. We'll come back and finish up. We're at 800-TALK-YES. You want to join us tonight? We're only going to do this Limbaugh thing for another couple minutes, then we're going to get on to the real news of the day. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Gives you, don't do anything at all. on this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Greetings, everybody. This is Ramsey Pollard, Jr., the host of IE America's Sunday afternoon travel show, Ramblin' with Ramsey, on air 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time. Almost every Sunday, I travel to some location to offer you the opportunity of not only receiving wonderful printed material about the location, but to win a prize, maybe a couple of nights in a hotel or a resort or T-shirts or fudge. Oh, yes, there's always a lot of fudge. Come on, tune us in on your radio or go to IEAmericaRadio.com. I'll be there.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy show, just say no.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
kinds of ways to treat substance. I understand that.
Yeah, you would. Five before the hour. Yeah, five years that he admits to, probably much longer than that, 5 years of being addicted to illegal drugs. You know, oh, I had back pain. Yeah, all right. 5 years of that to the point where he drove himself deaf. This is the thing with junkies. They will give up everything. Their spouse, their children, their life, their profession, their house, their car, their money, everything. Rush, it was even given up his hearing. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. So now he's kicked, right? Now he's had 30 days, and bingo, it's all taken care of, right, Dr. John?
Yeah, right. Hey, listen, Mike, two quick things, and sure. I'll let you get on to other stuff. First of all, in the first 30 minutes of his program today, before he dipped into the usual slime that he mm-hmm. was in, he was just downright euphoric. He was on something today.
Sure, yeah. Kathy heard some of it, and in order to pull these sound bites, and she said, yeah, he sounded like somebody who was especially at the end of the show. Kathy said, he said, we'll be right back, and then of course he'd run out of time and didn't come back. He's probably on some kind of methamphetamine.
Yeah, well, and the second thing is, and you have some experience with this, and maybe you can certainly tell me, in a 12-step program, isn't one of the steps that you're supposed to apologize to everyone?
Yeah. Yeah, I've got a good friend, a high school buddy who back in Ohio who entered. He's been sober for about 9 years now, and he told me last time we were up there in the summer that is one of the keys in the 12 step, and it's into the program. I don't know if it's step 8, 9, 6, whatever, but it's down into the program because there is so much self repair and self acknowledgement, self discovery, and honesty that one has to slog through before one can give a genuine apology to all the people that one has violated.
Well, he surely wasn't up to that today. Hey, thanks, Mike.
All
See
right.
you later.
All right, Dr. John. Thank you. Appreciate you checking in. No, I don't. Certainly, I'm not an expert on addiction. I'm more of a cynical bastard who just wants to see people who are hypocritical suffer. I'm sorry. I might as well be honest with you. I hate hypocrites. If someone who's not a hypocrite, I can forgive damn near anything. You know, can't you? It's the hypocrisy. It is the sitting back for 10, 12 years now and mocking, as Limbaugh has, homeless people, sick people, dying people, ill people, addicted people, just constant, unending mocking and belittling. You know, that's the part that to me is, I'm sorry, I'm not Jesus either. To me, that's unforgivable.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003. My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Yes, I'm calling about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off.
Why?
Is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. an Arab television network broadcast a purported audio tape by fugitive dictator Saddam Hussein on Sunday, exhorting Iraqis to wage holy war against occupying forces and warning of more deaths for U.S.-led troops. In the northern city of Mosul, U.S. soldiers retrieved wreckage and bodies after two Black Hawk helicopters collided and crashed under fire on Saturday, killing 17 soldiers in the bloodiest single incident for U.S. forces since they invaded Iraq. Another five U.S. soldiers were wounded in Mosul on Sunday when a roadside bomb was detonated as their convoy passed. An improvised explosive device went off and there were small arms fire, said Specialist Joshua Hutchinson, a spokesman for the 101st Airborne Division. Our soldiers responded, but we had five wounded in action. The U.S. military fired a satellite-guided missile on Sunday for the first time since combat was declared over on May 1st, targeting an island in a river in northern Iraq where U.S. officers said guerrillas had set up a training camp. Louisiana Governor-elect Kathleen Blanco started piecing together a new administration Sunday that will return Democrats to control of Louisiana government after 8 years of Republican rule. Blanco, the state's Democratic lieutenant governor, defeated conservative Indian American Bobby Jindal with 52% of the vote in a runoff election Saturday that dashed the Republican Party's hopes for a sweep of the Deep South. The win marks the first time a Democrat has been elected Louisiana governor since Governor Mike Foster was elected 8 years ago. Hundreds of anti-globalization activists held demonstrations Sunday as representatives of 34 Western Hemisphere nations started talks on creating the world's largest free trade bloc. Aides to trade ministers were preparing for meetings scheduled to begin Thursday when their bosses will try to create a framework for a creation of a free trade area of the Americas. A business forum starts Monday. Details of Sunday's meetings were not available to the public, said Richard Mills, spokesman for the U.S. Trade Representative Robert Zolnick.
More news after this.
Hi, I'm Morgan Freeman. America's national park system is one of the best ideas our country ever had, and I've got a lifetime of memories to prove it. But our parks are in trouble. Inadequate funding and other pressures are risking some of America's most awe-inspiring places. To help, visit www.americansfornationalparks.org or call 1-800-NATPARK, 1-800-NATPARK. That's just too much to lose.
A medieval marquee has been set up in front of Buckingham Palace to welcome George W. Bush to London, and tourists call it a real eyesore. The two-dome tent, made of wood poles and canvas, took 3 days to erect, said a policeman outside the palace. Canopy cupolas reminiscent of jousting tournaments and chivalrous knights top the platform, which has the royal coat of arms squashed between two emblems of the U.S. President's seal. Tourists visiting the place were unanimous in their dislike of what they saw.
For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
You don't want to miss the first pitch of the playoffs for the second year in a row, so you're probably scrambling for dinner. Hey, think fast. Think eggs, like an omelet with mushrooms, cheese, and tomatoes, or anything else you like. Omelets are delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes. So, you get to the game on time, see the first pitch, your team sweeps the playoffs, and goes on to win the championship. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
Where's George? Remember him? Mr. Smoke 'em Out, Mr. Bring 'em On, Mr. Top Gun, who pulled that stunt landing on the aircraft carrier, strutting for the cameras under a White House banner declaring, "Mission accomplished." But now that nearly twice as many soldiers have died in Iraq after they raised that banner than before it, and with coffins of our dead troops still coming home almost daily, where's the president who was so visible when sending troops off to war? The hard job is not sending them off, but seeing the boxes come home. Where's George in this hour of our national need? Bush has not attended the funeral of any American soldier killed in action in his war. We recently saw a photo op of him hugging a woman who had lost her house in the California wildfires, but he's simply been AWOL when it comes to appearing at the funerals of those shipped home from Iraq. His political henchmen say they don't want George to get mired down in the daily body counts. Even when 15 Americans died in a Chinook helicopter that was recently shot down in Iraq, not a peep from George.
he stayed way out of sight at his ranchette in Crawford, Texas. The White House political Machiavellians think that if there's no presidential focus on the deadly price of the Iraqi occupation, the public won't notice that things are going very badly over there. Indeed, the Pentagon has even barred the media from covering the arrival of the coffins at the air base in Dover, Delaware. And the Pentagon also has stopped reporting the number of soldiers wounded in Iraq, as though if they don't report it, it's not happening. This is Jim Hightower saying, the White House warmongers have isolated themselves from the harsh pain of their ambitions for empire. But if the sons and daughters of Bush, Cheney, and the other warmongers were the ones coming home in boxes, then you'd see a sharp change in presidential attitude and in policy.
Doug, listening to you sing Back in the Saddle Again just goes to show what happens when Nancy isn't around to rein you in. God help us and anyone else listening in at that time. I think that was very nice. I'm back in the saddle again.
There's a certain pumpkin patch charm to you when you do this.
Really?
Well, Doug.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
I know you're out there somewhere, somewhere, somewhere. I know I'll find you somehow, and somehow I'll reach you.
Right here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. 800-TALK-YES is the number. One more comment on this Limbaugh hypocrisy. An email from Dominic in Charlottesville, Virginia. Mike, so if Rush doesn't see him, I guess he'll be turning himself into the prosecutor tomorrow, right? Yeah. And last comment I have on this for the time being, on MSNBC right now, on the Scarborough, another unindicted right-wing thug. This guy's an unindicted killer, Joe Scarborough. They have some woman from the Heritage Foundation who is really going out of her way to excuse Limbaugh's behavior, talking about, oh, well, you know, there's so many millions of Americans who are in pain and get addicted to prescription. No, look, lady, it wasn't prescription medication. Limbaugh is a junkie. He's a felon. He's a thug. And he's a hypocrite. To hell with him. To hell with him. And that's the last I have to say on that for this evening. We will be back on that topic. We have an Uncle Mike Story Corner coming up in about 20 minutes from Stan Goff. If you remember, I had Stan Goff on this program. He is the author of Hideous Dream, a Soldier's Memoir of the U.S. Invasion of Haiti. He's a member of Bring Them Home Now. He's a retired Special Forces Master Sergeant, father of an active duty soldier who's in the airborne. He is a decorated combat soldier, and he is also very much against the Bush crime family's adventures in Iraq. And he's written something called Hold On to Your Humanity, an open letter to GIs in Iraq. And it bears a full reading. So Uncle Mike's Story Corner coming up here in about 20 minutes will deal with that particular topic. Over the weekend, the 911 Independent Commission announced an agreement with the Bush administration. This was last week, but this agreement comes a year after this Independent Commission was created. They had an announcement to make about access to the PDF, PDB, the Presidential Daily Briefing. Now, these are the documents that will disclose for anyone with an education beyond fifth grade that George W. Bush and his thugs understood full well that an attack was planned against his country, that attack was going to be perpetrated by the use of fully fueled airliners, and it would be these airliners would be slammed into American buildings. The Bush crime family knew this. This is what I've maintained since the book came out. What was the name of that book, Kathy, by the French authors, Forbidden Truth, about bin Laden and about the connections between Bush, bin Laden, the Saudi royals, the Taliban, the whole thing. Okay, you know, we've been down that road so many times. But the presidential daily briefings, were they to be released, if they haven't already been shredded, as far as I'm concerned, would show clearly that Bush and Rice and Rumsfeld and Pearl and the rest of these monsters understood perfectly what was going to happen in this country and allowed it to happen. And again, you don't have to take my assessment of this or any radio person or television person. All you have to do is go to the appropriate websites, look at the timeline, and the timeline is a matter of fact. It is not a matter of opinion. The timeline of those attacks on the World Trade Center, the plane crash in Pennsylvania, and the plane slamming, if it was a plane, into the Pentagon. Look at the timeline. And understand that this country was ordered to stand down, our air defense system was ordered to stand down while this attack against us was effected. And those orders to stand down can only come from the highest levels of the executive branch. So Bush, as you know, originally opposed the formation of an independent commission. You'll remember that Daschle was called by Bush and Cheney and told, even when Congress wanted to investigate, oh no, don't go there. Now, according to the Daily Mislead, Bush, who originally opposed the formation of independent commission, said at the ceremony signing into law a year ago that the investigation should, quote, carefully examine all the evidence and follow all the fact wherever they lead. That's Bush's gibberish English. But last month, frustrated by the lack of response by this crime family that operates the U.S. government, the Republican chairman of the commission, Tom Keene, former governor of New Jersey, warned the White House that the commission may subpoena the documents it wanted. Now, the deal struck this past week allows the White House to edit the documents. See, this is a deal. Just when you think that this Republican thug, Thomas Keene, might be pushing for the truth, then you find this out, that the deal struck allows the Bush crime family to black out the documents before they're released to the commission representatives. The deal also limits the number of commission members who have access to the report. They're saying, well, you know, I think there are 10 members on the commission, and these Bush criminals are saying, well, you know, only 3 of you, or whatever the number is, can see it. The rest of you cannot. What is that? Huh? What is that? Now, the specifics of the agreement were not released publicly. And why not? This is the worst assault on our territory since the War of 1812. Why is it a secret? Why does the Bush crime family not want the American public to know? Well, the answer is as obvious as the nose on your face. The answer is because George Bush and his thugs were involved in this destruction and death on U.S. soil. No? Well, then what? You come up with a better idea. So the specifics of the agreement between the Bush crime family and the so-called independent commission were not released publicly. But 2 Democrats on the panel object to the agreement's limitations. One of the Democrats is former senator from Georgia, Max Cleland, triple amputee Vietnam War veteran who was defeated by illegal voting and machine tampering here in Georgia by this punk, pansy-ass chicken hawk, Saxby Chambliss. Max Cleland described the agreement as unconscionable. Yeah. Now, the commission is required to present its final report May 27th. They got, what, 6 months, 7 months? And the law that created this commission said the report should be a full and complete account of the circumstances surrounding the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks, including preparedness for and the immediate response to the attacks. Well, it's not going to happen. You know, we are a week away from the assassination of John Kennedy, and there's still people in this country who genuinely believe that Lee Harvey Oswald, acting by himself, firing a weapon that was about as useless as a pop gun, with pinpoint accuracy and using magic bullets, assassinated the President of the United States. And this commission, the Keene Commission or the 911 Commission, whatever they're calling it, that is being prevented from getting information, and when it does get information, it is given 1/5, 1/20, 1/100th of what it needs to complete this report. And the report will be released, and the Bush crime family will say, see, there's your report, America. Now go back to sleep. Go listen to Limbaugh. Keep giving me your sons and daughters to use as cannon fodder in Iraq and wherever else, Syria, I guess, maybe Iran. How about North Korea? Just keep giving me your sons and daughters to put into our war machine, and shut up. Don't say anything about the jobs disappearing. I'm George Bush. I'm a born-again Christian. Jesus loves me. And God tells me who to invade and what countries to destroy. In an interview published Monday today with a real cheesy newspaper in London, The Sun, that's one owned by Rupert Murdoch, the guy who owns Fox News Network in this country, Bush is quoted as saying that the U.S. would wage war again and alone if necessary. See, he's learned nothing. Bush told The Sun on the eve of the visit, remember, he's going over there. When does he go? Tomorrow, Kathy? He said he felt compelled to act following the September 11th attacks in New York and Washington. He said, quote, I was at ground zero after the attacks. I remember this haze and the smells and the death and destruction. I'll always remember that. And I made up my mind right then. We're at war and we're going to win the war. And I still feel that determination today. Sounds like a 10-year-old. The paper quoted Bush as saying that U.S. forces and their coalition allies, what's that, three soldiers from Poland and a truckload of gas masks from Japan? The paper quoted Bush as saying U.S. forces and their coalition allies had ended the tyranny of Saddam Hussein in Iraq. Oh, really? And yeah, and replaced it with the tyranny of the U.S. military occupiers. And we had smashed the grip of Osama bin Laden's al-Qaeda network in Afghanistan, which is an absolute lie. How many Americans were killed over the weekend in Afghanistan? The Taliban is reestablishing control of that country. We control, or our allies in Afghanistan control, one city, Kabul. That's it. But it doesn't matter. The lies that are put out by the Bush crime family are not even refuted anymore. The media doesn't question. The Bush crime family makes no attempt to spin. It's just lie because the American public is stupid. We are dumber than any cultural collection of human beings, black, white, red, or green, ever to occupy the planet. You know it, and I know it. Now, not you, because you're listening to this program, and not me, because these bastards will never trick me, but you understand what I'm saying. Oh, by the way, The Sun is best known for its semi-naked page three. That's page three girls. That's where they publish these kind of cheesy photographs every single day. They have the booby shots, you know. Look here. Now, the fact that Bush chose that paper, not a respectable London newspaper, but The Sun, to give this interview, according to Reuters News Agency, has raised eyebrows among American journalists. Now, I don't have to tell you this. Bush has not sat for an interview with the New York Times, LA Times, Chicago Tribune, Washington Post, Miami Herald, Atlanta Journal-Constitution, or your newspaper. USA Today? No, uh-uh. But The Sun? Sure. The Washington Post said in an article on its website, quote, after coming to office with a vow to restore dignity to the White House, yeah, let's not forget that BJ, the president granted an exclusive interview to a British tabloid that features daily photographs of nude women. Oh, my God. Now, I've got some more here. You know, this Bush visit to the UK, to London, to meet the Queen, the Bush killers have been granted a shoot-to-kill permission. If a British citizen is suspected of being about to cause some sort of trouble around George Bush, the U.S. military sharpshooters that are traveling with him can kill that British citizen. Think about that for a second. We'll be right back. The poor stay poor and the rich get rich. That's how it goes. Everybody knows. Everybody knows the boat is leaking. Everybody knows the captain lied. Everybody got this broken feeling. Like their father or their...
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your throat is all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
This is Mike Malloy with the IE America Radio Network. Want to know more about our talk shows and personalities but don't know where to look? Do you want to find out what guests are scheduled or what topics we'll be discussing on our programs? Would you like to participate in live chat or vote in interactive polls? All this and more is available at the IE America Radio website. Bookmark it, stop surfing, and get active. Visit www.ieamericaradio.com today.
What does most political talk radio sound like?
Good morning and welcome to my show. I'm fine. Thanks for asking.
A little self-centered.
We're not going to take any calls right now because I want to talk. Remember, the show was at its best when it's more of me and less of you.
Not very listener friendly.
We're talking about all the progress we've made in Iraq. Tom and Seattle, you're on the air. Make it quick.
Yeah, I don't really agree with what you said about...
And I don't agree with you calling my show. Let's get it clear, people. If you don't agree with me, then you must be a communist.
A little one-sided.
The fact is that the Dixie Chicks should be sent to Iraq to live in a cave with Osama. Jeff in California, you're on the air. Make it quick.
I have a comment on how the U.S. has completely forgotten about Osama bin Laden.
No, you don't have a comment, Jeff, but what you do have is the privilege to listen to my show, and you're abusing it, and I am offended.
All around bad radio.
Says you.
But there is an alternative.
What?
You can get the best in progressive talk radio on the only progressive talk radio network there is, IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
You'll be back.
No, they won't.
Yes, they will.
Get out of here.
Don't touch me.
This is Mike Malloy with the IE America Radio Network. Want to know more about our talk shows and personalities but don't know where to look? Do you want to find out what guests are scheduled or what topics we'll be discussing on our programs? Would you like to participate in live chat or vote in interactive polls? All this and more is available at the IE America Radio website. Bookmark it, stop surfing, and get active. Visit www.ieamericaradio.com today.
Entering a flying monkey-free zone. Here's Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. The insistence by the Bush crime family they have the right to shoot to kill was turned down, was refused by Home Secretary David Blunkett of the UK. What the Bush crime family wanted was diplomatic immunity so that armed American special agents and snipers traveling to Britain as part of Bush's entourage this week would have the right to kill anyone that they felt like killing. The British Home Secretary, who's like, Secretary of State, Kathy, in the case of the accidental shooting of a protester, the Americans in Bush's protection squad will face justice in a British court just as would any other visitor
the government there has decided. Now, that issue of immunity is one of just a whole list of extraordinary U.S. demands that were turned down by British ministers and Tony Blair's office during preparations for the Bush Weasel's visit. Did you hear? He's pulled out of a speech to Parliament. This guy is just a coward. He's a bandy-legged chicken, just an utter coward. Remember what happened when he was in Australia? He gave some half-witted address to the Australian Parliament, and two or three members of that august body shouted him down and called him what he is, just a punk and a thief and a sneak, and he couldn't handle it. So he was scheduled to give a joint address to the House of Commons and the House of Lords during his state visit to London, to Britain, coming up. But a senior White House advisor said he would have loved to do it, but his handlers were fearful it might turn into a spectacle with Labour backbenchers walking out. Well, Labour Party, that's the Tony Blair Party, right? So they canceled it. The London Mirror in the UK said the decision to abandon the speech came as extraordinary security measures costing £19 million. What is that, about $16 million? Or have I got it just backwards? And also has placed London under a virtual state of siege in preparation for this jackass's arrival tomorrow. Now, the UK, the Mirror, the UK says roads in Whitehall were closed with concrete blockades. Overhead, a no-fly zone has been established with the Royal Air Force on standby to go ahead and shoot down unidentified planes. All police leave is canceled. The only speech Bush is now due to give will be to an invited-only audience at the banqueting house in Whitehall. A member of parliament there, a Labourite named Jeremy Corbyn, said, quote, "This is yet another slight on this country by the President of the United States. The least he could do is subject himself to questions from members of parliament." Another MP, John McConnell, said, John McDonald said, quote, "Bush might be able to run from the protesters. He might not be able to see the banners, but he must not be able to hide from the anger felt across this country at this unjustified war." Now, you got to keep in mind here, previous world leaders like Bill Clinton, Nelson Mandela, François Mitterrand, they have all given speeches to joint sessions of the Lords and Commons while visiting Britain, right? Tony Blair gave a joint address to the American Senate and House of Representatives when he was back here in July, right? But Bush is a coward. Bush is a coward, he's a sneak, he's a liar, and he's a mass murderer. And he's not going to stand in front of a joint session of the British Parliament and subject his the holy self to questions from British members of Parliament. Probably for fear one might say, what was it that you told the Palestinian prime minister that God told you to invade Afghanistan and God told you to invade Iraq? Oh, man. So the U.S. wanted a shoot-to-kill permission while they were in somebody else's country. Can you imagine somebody standing there on a corner as the Bush motorcade went by giving Bush the finger? And a U.S. sniper killing him?
In high places. They've stolen our country and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George VI to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
The octopus is well known for its eight arms, and now it's drawing more attention for the extent of its intelligence. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Scientists have long assumed that animals that are very different from human beings are not likely to show high levels of intelligence, but they're finding that the octopus has a pretty good head on its many shoulders. Jennifer Mather is a comparative psychologist at the University of Lethbridge in Alberta, Canada. She and other scientists studied the octopus to learn more about the nature of intelligence in the animal world. Mather says many scientists have been surprised to find that octopuses can find their way through mazes and solve other problems.
They're also good at very simple manipulation things, like taking the lid off a jar because there's a crab hiding inside the jar and they want to get at it. And that kind of thing has been suggested to be intelligence as well.
Mather suspects the octopus might be able to recognize individual people and maybe even hold a grudge. She recalls a time when she saw an octopus in a laboratory opening the lid of its tank, possibly trying to escape.
So I took my hand and I banged hard on the lid and it came down and knocked the octopus back into its tank. And I came back the next day, sat down on the stool. The octopus lifted the lid just far enough, aimed the siphon, and jetted a jet of water at me. And I thought, he's out to get me now. He knows I did it, and he's going to get me when I come back. And in fact, the animal repeated that several times. So that octopus probably figured out that I was bad trouble for it, and it was going to be bad trouble for me.
The octopus is a mollusk, which makes it related to clams, snails, and oysters. Mather says the brain power of the octopus shows that advanced intelligence can evolve in animals that are very different from human beings. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylor Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Not your father's radio program, take 47.
Tune into Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal celebrity boxing.
We're gonna kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Tanya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boys, come on!
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
And now, the man conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. A little bit more on this Bush visit to the UK tomorrow, and then to your phone calls here, I promise. So this demand by the Bush thugs that they have immunity from prosecution if they decided to kill somebody whom they thought might be a threat to George Bush, that was turned down. They also wanted the closure of the tube network or the underground or the subway network in London, which was turned down. They want to be able to use U.S. Air Force planes and helicopters and the shipping in to the U.K. of battlefield weaponry to use against potential rioters. There's going to be 100,000 people protesting this killer's entry into their country tomorrow, which they certainly have a right to do. This is a mass murderer. This is a war criminal coming to their country to meet their queen and their prime minister. And there are going to be a lot of people protesting. The Bush people wanted to use battlefield weaponry. Now, all this was turned down, but in return, the British authorities agreed to numerous concessions, according to the London Observer, including the creation of what they're calling a sterile zone around Bush, with a series of road closures in central London and a security cordon keeping the public away from his cavalcade. I don't know. Even Dick Nixon, as much of a psychopath as he was, he had the courage to go to South America when he was vice president, and his limousine was spat upon and rocks were thrown. But even Nixon knew Because the United States, even back then, was involved in overthrowing governments in Central and South America. Even Nixon knew back then that he would not get a very polite welcome, but he went anyway. George Bush, like all bullies, is also at heart the worst kind of coward. Just a total coward. There were also demands for the U.S. Air Force to patrol above London with fighter aircraft and Black Hawk helicopters. That was turned down. The arrogance, the audacity of these people. Now, Bush's protection force will be armed and will include about 250 Secret Service agents to protect him. The Bush crime family, according to the London Observer, had also wanted to travel with a piece of military hardware called a minigun, which usually forms part of the that's usually carried by Bush when he goes someplace. I didn't know this. It is fired from a tank and can kill dozens of people. It just cuts people into pieces. And Bush wanted to, that's what the Bush thugs wanted. You know, these are British. These are British. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. What else? A little bit more here. Have you got that? Will you cue up that thing from Ezekiel? From Natural Born Killer? No, not Natural Born Killers, but Pulp Fiction. Because believe this or not, according to Gordon Thomas, writing in the British press, in his wallet, President Bush carries a biblical passage evangelist Billy Graham gave him after 9/11. It is the words of the prophet Ezekiel to the Philistines. And we've played this before. The last line is, "You shall know that I am the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon you."
Ezekiel 25:17. "The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who in the name of charity and goodwill shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness, for he is truly his brother's keeper and the finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know
my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon you."
That's the part Bush likes. 5,000 London police officers will guard the closed-off center of London that houses some of Britain's biggest tourist attractions, like Buckingham Palace, Big Ben, House of Parliament, Whitehall, Downing Street, the Mall, and the Cenotaph. Well, somebody let me know what the Cenotaph is. One of our UK listeners just sent me a quick email. Tourist officials estimate that the lost tourist revenue could top several $1 million. Now, this is the part that is really bizarre. London hospitals and their surgeons and medical staff, whose skills are among the best in the world, are astonished to find out that Bush is bringing his own operating table and team. One surgeon being brought as a specialist in gunshot wounds. Another is equipped to deal with a biological hazard. London's five-star chefs are amazed that Bush is bringing his own five chefs to cook personally for him. They're bringing with him his favorite recipe for hamburgers and Mexican chili. And on the Brit side, over 300 MI5 and MI6 agents, British Secret Service, some flown in from the Middle East, from Middle Eastern hotspots, especially to protect George Bush. Their task will be to try to spot any Al-Qaeda terrorists in the crowds. Woo! Now, how about this? In another unprecedented move, Israel has assigned 8 top Mossad agents as part of Bush's security detail. The agents, the American agents, now this says 650 American secret agents. Oh, not all Secret Service. The agents have demanded the names and personal details, including political affiliations, of all those who will attend Bush's planned visit to Parliament. Oh, my God. It just goes on and on and on and on. 50 snipers will be positioned overlooking... This is according to the British press. 50 snipers will be positioned overlooking every place where Bush will be publicly visible when he steps, however briefly, from his armored limo. Air Force One will be escorted into London by U.S. fighter jets based in Brooklyn, Britain. They will be fitted with missiles to shoot down any threatening aircraft. This is ostensibly a president of the United States. It is not really a president. This is a man who assisted in the overthrow of the U.S. government. Who assisted in the overthrow of the duly elected Vice President Al Gore. This is a man who is going to spend, according to his own belief system, eternity in hell. And we're stuck with him. And the Brits are going to try to deal with him this week. All right. David is calling. He is our Woodstock Nation Bureau Chief. David, thanks for holding on.
Hello. Of course Rush is cured. He's a ham, isn't he?
He's a cured. Yeah, right. I don't want to talk about that. Pig Limbaugh. Oh, God, the man makes me sick. What about all this stuff in London? What the Brits are going through? Can you believe this?
I don't think they can believe it either.
Oh, they're just thoroughly pissed off. This is an affront. Not only is this denigrating to their security systems, to their legal system, to their medical system, to their culinary arts, it's degrading. It's an insult to have this punk show up in their country.
And as much fun as has been made of British cooking.
Yeah,
is still. What was the old Bill Hicks line? You don't boil pizza.
even though it might not be all that bad, right? I understand, right?
Compared to a few I've had, yeah.
Yeah.
In any event, oh, by the way, the situation that I spoke about last time I called, it took a long while to get it nailed down, but it's finally cleared.
Okay. And that is? Give me a clue.
And I were looking at possibly being homeless.
Oh, that's right.
At one point.
That's right. You're not homeless. That's right.
We were able to. I'm not going to go into detail because, of course, a lot of people at the head office in Detroit are going to love that.
You're right. Well, I'm glad everything worked out.
And thanks to all the people who listened regularly, who heard the call and emailed me some statements of support.
Well, that was a good thing.
You got good listeners.
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
In any event, around the Rockford area.
Rockford, Illinois, where the soldier went on the radio and dissed the mass killer George Bush. What happened to him?
Her. Yeah. Sergeant Jessica Masick.
Another Jessica. What happened to her?
And, well, at this point, it appears that she may wind up being court-martialed.
Oh, for disrespecting her commander-in-chief on a radio program, huh?
For stating, and this is what the talk show host, is a guy named Chris Bowman, who spoke to her Friday morning.
Right.
And apparently this morning, Sergeant Masick's husband told him that she may be now facing a court martial for saying that Bush was, quote, less than truthful, end quote.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, sure. Send her to Guantanamo. That's where she belongs. Put her in an animal cage. Beat the soles of her feet. She had the temerity to suggest that George Bush might be what he is, a piggish liar.
And, yeah, and so, you know, it's so much for free speech. You open your mouth and, you know, they'll find some way.
Well, there's no guarantee, and you know this, David, there's no guarantee of free speech in this country. There is a guarantee that the government will not try to prohibit free speech. But you also know that when you go in the military, the Uniform Code of Military Justice takes precedence. It does. Just does over constitutional guarantees. The soldier understood, I'm sure, that she was taking a risk. Now, is it fair? Is it just? Is it proper? Under the military code, it may not be fair, just, or proper, but it is legal. The Bush crime family will tolerate no dissent, especially not from someone who's been shanghaied into their murderous military. So, let us know how the story progresses.
And by the way, I don't know if this actually makes any difference, but this was a National Guard soldier as opposed to regular Army.
Well, National Guard and the reservists are the ones that are having their asses handed to them by the Bush crime family. These are people who did not sign up to go to a war zone. These are people who wanted to serve their country in a less murderous situation. And as you know, I know, everybody that listens to this program knows, these are the people who are being told, your life is over. We need you to go secure these oil fields for the Bush crime family. So, you know, forget your family, forget your kids, forget your jobs, your careers, your mortgage payments. And don't expect any breaks or goodies when you get out of the service because we're cutting all the VA benefits.
And it just, you know, it gets to be, especially this past weekend, there was another report that came out, and this one I thought was rather interesting, interesting enough that CBS Radio mentioned it.
Oh, yeah.
That there have been more soldiers who have died in Iraq this time around
than at a comparable time in Vietnam.
Than in the first 3 years of Vietnam.
That I hope people understand that statement, though, because Kennedy had committed soldiers to Vietnam in 1961, and it didn't really show up on America's radar screens of Vietnam until the Gulf of Tonkin incident, which was in 64, 65. So the statement is essentially true. It is. But when a statement like that is made, I'm afraid some people are going to say, wait a second, that's not true. See, it's a lying liberal media again, and they'll start counting the Vietnam era from about 65, and they'll say, what the hell are you talking about? 65, 66, and 67? No, that's not true. There's the lying liberal media again. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to qualify that and say, let's keep in mind that John Kennedy sent 200 so-called special forces to Vietnam, I think, in the summer of 1961. So,
and
there were already soldiers there that had been placed there by Eisenhower.
So. I was about to say the first fatality was under the Eisenhower.
Right, exactly. But I don't think they start really counting our involvement until the Kennedy years, because under Eisenhower it was kind of a mop up after the French had their ass handed to them at Dien Bien Phu. So I just don't want people to get the wrong idea and think, well, there you go, see, liberal lying media. Again,
since we keep on having this problem with residents of the White House who come from Texas,
oh yeah,
is it possible that we can let them secede yet again?
or just start respecting our system of electing people to the highest office in the land. If the American people say we want Al Gore, we don't allow five right-wing psychopaths on the U.S. Supreme Court to say, no, you don't get Al Gore, you get George Bush.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think it has too much to do with Texas. A lot of good people come out of Texas. I think Lyndon Johnson, with everything in balance, he was a lying bastard that was instrumental in he and Nixon in 58,000 Americans dying and 2.5 million Indochinese dying. But Lyndon Johnson was a good domestic president. I don't think it's Texas so much as it is the way our system is chumped and gamed by these thugs and punks in the Republican Party.
Yeah,
all of whom are thugs and punks. Every single Republican.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks, David.
No problem.
All right, sir. Appreciate your call. I've said that before, and I'll keep saying it. And I don't care. Northeastern Republicans, all these little goody-two-shoes Republicans from, places like Connecticut and Maine and, you know who I'm talking about. People like Olympia Snow and they are still Republicans. And they support a murderous regime that has no problem in killing civilians and sending American troops to their death and destroying the country, destroying the environment, destroying jobs, destroying everything. So if you're a Republican, you're part of that. And damn you. All right, quick break here. It looks like Uncle Mike's Story Corner is going to have to come next hour, obviously. We didn't get to it. But it's Stan Goff. Decorated a Vietnam veteran who has an open letter to our soldiers in Iraq. You got to hear this. We'll get to it at some point this evening, so stay with me. I'm Mike Malloy.
thing it can be, which is
why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant maximum strength myelin's a liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try maximum strength Mylanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you're ready to buy a home, work with someone who'll work with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Our scientists have studied and found that our listeners have a lot of stress from the lack of being able to get their questions and comments off of their minds, which can cause nausea, vomiting, and eventually will make you strip down, sit in a corner, and drool while counting pretty yellow and pink elephants flying around.
Okay.
So now, IE America Radio Network is proud to present the IE Hotline. Call and give your comments.
I just wanted to call and let you know your internet station totally rocks off the chart.
Your suggestions.
I think Doug Stephan should be on all day, 24/7. Yeah.
Your questions.
Got a question about Bush. How the hell do you put food on your family? What is that?
Crop growth and biologic growth are by with good will and volitional control.
Or whatever the heck that just was. So call 1-800-397-8255 and leave a message for any one of our on-air talents. 1-800-397-8255. Operators are standing by. Just kidding. You have to leave a message.
Show.
We caught somebody doing something right. Fred D'Amato, Pocono, Pennsylvania. He put a sign out in his front yard to support our troops, impeach the Bush administration. Of course, Mount Pocono jumped all over him. The borough councilman, Francis O'Boyle, said, "The last couple words is what's the problem. I don't think it's right to put up a sign like that and say those things." The lawyer says it's protected First Amendment speech. John Finnerty, the borough council president, says, "Well, if we could all express our thoughts on a piece of plywood, just think what the neighborhood would look like. It might be a slight infringement of First Amendment rights," making him take down his sign. He's facing $500 a day fines for not having his sign. However, the story in the newspaper of Mount Pocono, New York, says that D'Amato removed the sign, but on Sunday said he planned to put it back up again. Well done.
The Tom Hart Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Don't be left out. Join the new wave of political talk radio with Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. Break coming up. But don't forget, the next hour, we've got Uncle Mike's Story Corner from Stan Goff. And also, I want to tell you a little bit about the Southern Christmas Show. Yeah, there is such a thing in Charlotte, North Carolina, that I attended over the weekend. Woohoo! Carl is calling. Southside Carl is calling from Chicago. Hey, Carl.
Hey, how you doing, Mike?
Doing fine, sir.
Yeah, I think he got Bush all wrong. Because just this weekend, if I'm not mistaken, he said he loves free speech.
Well, that's what he says, but he also put about 30 snipers out to kill anybody who practices it, especially if they're in the U.K.
Something else that happened. His wife, she's free game now. I think she made some public statements saying that her husband had no choice. So she was talking about policy.
Right.
Publicly talking about policy, so... You know, that opens her to, you know, public criticism.
Well, under the rules of journalism that used to be in effect, that's true. But there's not a writer, a newspaper, a camera, a television person in this country who will say anything bad about Pickles Bush, except me. I'll say it. I think the whole family is sick. And Kathy, of course, who does a great Pickles, she'll say nasty stuff about the whole damn Bush family. They're all sick. They're all killers.
Well, I had left her alone because, you know, as long as she wasn't, you know... doing, you know, talking on topics that were like very serious policy issues.
Right, right.
This, what she was talking about, well, what he had to do about this war thing, I guess is what it was. I said, well, that makes you fair game.
For sure.
This morning, I don't know if you read it. I was watching the journal, and I was trying to tune in, and I just caught part of the article, and they were talking about some casualties in Iraq, and I couldn't make out if they were American casualties or Iraqi casualties. I know the number was something like 9,000.
That is the number of U.S. Casualties total according to the New York Times, I believe, in Iraq. That's in dead and wounded, 9,000 U.S. casualties. That's according to the Defense Department.
Yeah, well, there's a good portion in that are illnesses which they haven't spoken about either.
Well, I don't think the numbers are right. I think the number is closer to 12,000 or 15,000. And also this idea or this lie put out by the U.S. Defense Department, whenever they're asked how many Iraqi civilians have been killed, they say, well, we don't keep track of Iraqi civilians. That's a damn lie. Of course they do.
Well, like I said, I didn't know if I was trying to, you know, I couldn't watch the whole show this morning, and I wasn't there to follow up on it, but I thought it was U.S. casualties, but I wasn't.
That's what it was.
Okay.
Carl, break here.
Okay, Mike.
All right, sir. Thanks. Appreciate you checking in. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Look, if you had the chance to date Anna Nicole Smith, would you?
I found her appealing a few years ago, but there were things about her that intrigued me. That's all. I mean, I don't always get intrigued.
Two of them. I just can't believe you, of all people, would choose a date based simply on the physical.
Are you kidding? I hate to disappoint you.
You're a dirty dog.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. an Arab television network broadcast a purported audio tape by fugitive dictator Saddam Hussein on Sunday, exhorting Iraqis to wage holy war against occupying forces and warning of more deaths for U.S.-led troops. In the northern city of Mosul, U.S. soldiers retrieved wreckage and bodies after two Black Hawk helicopters collided and crashed under fire on Saturday, killing 17 soldiers in the bloodiest single incident for U.S. forces since they invaded Iraq. Another five U.S. soldiers were wounded in Mosul on Sunday when a roadside bomb was detonated as their convoy passed. An improvised explosive device went off and there were small arms fires, said Specialist Joshua Hutchinson, a spokesman for the 101st Airborne Division. Our soldiers responded, but we had five wounded in action. The U.S. military fired a satellite-guided missile on Sunday for the first time since combat was declared over on May 1st, targeting an island in a river in northern Iraq where U.S. officers said guerrillas had set up a training camp. Turkish officials were investigating claims that the Al-Qaeda terrorist network was responsible for the car bombings that devastated two Istanbul synagogues and killed 23 people, the prime minister said early Monday. Two Arabic-language newspapers received separate statements Sunday claiming Osama bin Laden's group was responsible for the bombings, which Turkish officials said were likely the work of suicide bombers who detonated explosives in pickup trucks. There was no way to independently confirm the authenticity of the claims. Hundreds of anti-globalization activists held demonstrations Sunday as representatives of 34 Western Hemisphere nations started talks on creating the world's largest free trade bloc. Aides to trade ministers were preparing for meetings scheduled to begin Thursday when their bosses will try to create a framework for a creation of a free trade area of the Americas. A business forum starts Monday. Details of Sunday's meetings were not available to the public, said Richard Mills, spokesman for the U.S. Trade Representative Robert Zolnick.
More news after this.
Hi, I'm Morgan Freeman. America's national park system is one of the best ideas our country ever had, and I've got a lifetime of memories to prove it. But our parks are in trouble. Inadequate funding and other pressures are risking some of America's most awe-inspiring places. To help, visit www.americansfornationalparks.org or call 1-800-NATPARK, 1-800-NATPARK. There's just too much to lose.
Just figuring out how the thieves were able to make off with the painting as long as a sports utility vehicle has been tough enough. But Portland police are finding clues even harder to come by. The 117-year-old Russian painting, the first major art theft to be reported in Portland since 2000, was valued at $80,000 but was not insured. The painting was not hanging on the wall but stacked behind another painting, and more expensive paintings hanging in a gallery weren't touched. The thieves left through the front door, which they pried open with a crowbar.
For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
While Mike was putting up his own for sale sign, someone was helping his neighbors, John and Diane, with plans to sell their home. As Mike spent Saturday figuring out legal agreements and guessing his home's value, someone was preparing a counteroffer so John could help at the school fundraiser. And while Mike and his wife were reevaluating their asking price for the third time, someone was closing the sale on John and Diane's home. Work with someone who will work with you. We're realtors. Real estate is our life.
Where's George? Remember him? Mr. Smoke 'em Out, Mr. Bring 'em On, Mr. Top Gun, who pulled that stunt landing on the aircraft carrier, strutting for the cameras under a White House banner declaring, "Mission accomplished." But now that nearly twice as many soldiers have died in Iraq after they raised that banner than before it, and with coffins of our dead troops still coming home almost daily, where's the president who was so visible when sending troops off to war? The hard job is not sending them off, but seeing the boxes come home. Where's George in this hour of our national need? Bush has not attended the funeral of any American soldier killed in action in his war. We recently saw a photo op of him hugging a woman who had lost her house in the California wildfires, but he's simply been AWOL when it comes to appearing at the funerals of those shipped home from Iraq. His political henchmen say they don't want George to get mired down in the daily body counts. Even when 15 Americans died in a Chinook helicopter that was recently shot down in Iraq, not a peep from George.
He stayed way out of sight at his ranchette in Crawford, Texas. The White House political Machiavellians think that if there's no presidential focus on the deadly price of the Iraqi occupation, the public won't notice that things are going very badly over there. Indeed, the Pentagon has even barred the media from covering the arrival of the coffins at the air base in Dover, Delaware. And the Pentagon also has stopped reporting the number of soldiers wounded in Iraq, as though if they don't report it, it's not happening. This is Jim Hightower saying, the White House warmongers have isolated themselves from the harsh pain of their ambitions for empire. But if the sons and daughters of Bush, Cheney, and the other warmongers were the ones coming home in boxes, then you'd see a sharp change in presidential attitude and in policy.
I would like to see a law that says you, your organs automatically get donated unless you say no.
All right, Richie, have you got an organ donor specification?
No.
Why?
Because I don't want them taking me before I'm dead.
In Richie's case, what good would most of those organs be?
Certainly won't be going for his brain. Or they might, because it's never been used.
You might as well be dead. Your brain is, so why not the rest of you?
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Welcome back. 7 past the hour. 800-TALK-YES is the number. Thanks to all the people who emailed in about the definition of cenotaph. We got emails here from four continents. And Martin, who is one of our over-the-road truckers, is driving in Georgia, listening on Sirius Satellite Network, and you want to give us the definition, right, Martin?
Yeah, how you doing, Mike? Nice to speak to you again.
My pleasure, sir.
A cenotaph is basically a war memorial. And the cenotaph they're actually referring to is the one in London. Then you've probably seen the Queen Mother every year laying poppy wreaths on November the 11th.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's the one she's talking about.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like a total moron. I emailed back 10 or 12 of the people who defined the word for me. It's amazing. It's a word I have never come across that word in my life.
I don't actually know where it came from, but ever since, being in school, that's what we've always referred a war memorial to as a cenotaph.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So, that's where it came from.
Well, I've learned something new.
But
every day.
Well, as long as we keep on learning, then maybe we'll educate a few more people, right?
Yeah, it's a shame we have to have cenotaphs of any sort.
Unfortunately, many members of my family are inscribed upon them from World War One and World War Two.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just something we grow up with. But fortunately, if this generation can change things around a little and get rid of the dead wood like Bush, then maybe humankind will have a brighter future.
Indeed. So strictly speaking, the Vietnam War Memorial is a cenotaph.
Yeah.
I see.
That's what it basically is, just a war memorial.
Gotcha.
But just a couple of other points. Were you referring to The Sun and also recent other publications that were talking about Bush's impending visit tomorrow? The Observer, I think it's observer.co.uk, they also had all of his rules and regulations printed out. And, in fact, I go to a soccer website every day for my local soccer team back in England, and even on their message board, they'd posted all these rules and regulations, and they were all commenting on them. So, if you want to, I can send you the link to it so you can see the comments.
Yeah, please do. I would love to see what British soccer fans are saying about Bush's visit.
Yeah, well, some people, they read The Sun, so they haven't a clue, but other people, because a lot of them are from all over the world, are saying, what a load of rubbish,
Yeah, yeah.
And tell the guy to go home in not so many polite words.
I'm sure.
And with regards to your earlier mentioning of the healthcare system in the red states and the blue states, I think you're being a little bit unfair on Florida, because we didn't actually vote Bush in.
Well, that's true.
And our healthcare down here is in the mess that it is because you've got Cubans coming over here on rafts being treated for seasickness. And also you've got all your bushes and stuff coming down from Vermont and New Hampshire and using Florida as a staging post for heaven. So, you know, it's that's what's ruined our healthcare down here in Florida.
Well, that's a pretty cruel assessment, but you're not, but you're probably not far wrong, Martin.
Well, you're forgetting that I'm a truck driver that has to put up with all the Cadillacs doing 55 miles an hour and blocking up the roads every year.
I hear that.
So, anyway, what I was going to say, Mike, was any chance of a signed photograph? I've actually got a new job, and I'm leaving the trucking industry and going back into an office.
You know, I haven't had any photographs made literally in about 6 or 7 years. The most recent one is the one on my website, and I look, you know, I'm way older than that now. You know, I'm getting wrinkled and prunish looking, and
You can't use that as an excuse. I'm sure Gizmo and everybody else would all like one as well.
Right, but what we're going to do? I have a couple of good photographer friends here in Atlanta, and one of them, Jonathan Burnett, we're going to get with. Soon, and he go into his studio, and when you use lighting and makeup, you can hide an awful lot of the aging process. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to come up with new pictures, but I hate sending out those old ones because it's just a pure fraud. I don't look that way anymore.
Okay, well, when you do, put me on the list.
I'll do it,
and I'll figure out a way of getting serious into my home.
All right, sounds good, Martin.
Okay, well, thanks, Mike, and best of luck.
Thanks for the definition. Thanks for checking in. Drive
You're
safely.
Welcome. Speak later. Bye-bye.
All right, sir. Yeah, Martin called in, and about 15 emails from Australia, Hong Kong, UK, North America, which would be Canada, and a couple here in the States with the definition of cenotaph. I'm sorry. That just impresses me. That impresses me that, you know, people all over the planet listen to this program. Well, not, you know, I mean, what? But still. Had you ever heard that word before, Kathy? And both you and I had a decent education. I have just never seen nor heard the word cenotaph. Never. Joe is calling. He's our Brookings, Oregon Bureau Chief. Hey, Joe.
Yeah, first I'd like to tell you a couple of things that we got going locally as part of the resistance. 55 miles up the road, the little town of Port Orford, about 1,000 people, really really right wing. They came up with a resolution against the Patriot Act.
Great.
And then we're getting around doing the same thing here in Brookings with the League of Women Voters. I'm going to try and get our local Green Party here in on the act. Now, I want to talk about that $87 billion for Iraq and Afghanistan.
Yeah.
It's like, what the hell was that? I was watching, the Jesse Ventura show, you know, me and about nine other people across the country watching that the other day.
Right.
And he was talking about that $87 billion aid package. And do I got this right? There were six senators who voted on that. On what do they call it, a voice vote?
Yes.
Or some crap like that?
Yeah, yeah. They didn't want to have a recorded vote to give everybody political cover. So they did a voice vote, only there were only six people present when they did it.
Yes, and
that was on top of the actual vote that was taken without being recorded. You got to remember, with few exceptions, most of the Democrats and all of the Republicans in the United States Senate and the United States House of Representatives are cowards of the highest order. There are a few Democrats and no Republicans who still have courage, but they're very few, very few.
Oh, yes, I would just mention our local congressman, Peter DeFazio, here is one of those courageous Democrats. But, the $87 billion, six senators vote on it. That's six senators out of 100. That don't exactly sound like a democracy to me. And so we're going to go over to Iraq.
Right, but you understand that, Joe. Probably 92 of them voted. They just didn't want their vote made public.
Well...
You see, it's just a trick that they use. It's a parliamentary trick that the United States Senate will use in order to give people political cover so that they don't have to answer to the people who put them in office.
Well, I know it's
right.
A trick. It's the same trick they pulled when they have voted themselves a pay raise.
Right, right.
And then they said, no, we're not really voting ourselves a pay raise. This is something that just kicks in automatically. We just didn't do anything to stop it. You know?
Don't you hate them, Joe? Don't you just hate them?
Oh, man. Oh, I hate their guts.
Joe, thanks for checking in, pal. I appreciate your call. We're getting close to, well, let's take Mike in Coral Springs, Florida. Hey, Mike, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Mike.
Hi.
Mike, you were talking earlier about the 9/11 Commission.
Yes.
If you do a little digging, and you may have and just not mentioned it this time, but it turns out that Tom Keene, who's the chairman, sits on the board of Amaretta Hess. And Hess is in partnerships with a company in... it's a Saudi company,
mm-hmm.
whose brother...
This is the oil company.
This is oil, right?
Right, okay.
And it turns out he's a brother-in-law of Osama bin Laden. He married the sister.
Oh, Jesus.
So, I mean, it's just incestuous right down the line.
Oh, where did they find out that the Saudis were more than willing to effect a hit on this country, that the Bush crime family asked them to put the hurt on us to the tune of 3,000 deaths, that there were no pilots on those planes, that they were all remote control operated, that the 16 Saudis, quote, was a joke and a cover. It's mind-boggling. Now you're telling me that Thomas Keene has a business relationship with the bin Laden family.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Right. I mean, you know, there are other things which don't seem to hit the news, but really should be. I mean, if you look at political assassination in this country, it seems that it's mostly Democrats and liberals that have done away with.
You never see the
right wing getting shot.
No, the last right winger that was assassinated that I'm aware of was George
Maddox.
George Lincoln Rockwell, who was the head of the American Nazi Party. He was wiped out in, 62 or 63? He was shot in New York. Meyer Kahane was gunned down by...
In California somewhere.
No, and actually New York. By,
in New York, okay.
Yeah, by an Egyptian, American, Egyptian-American. And then, of course, the assassination attempt on George Wallace in Maryland.
Right.
But you're absolutely right. The ones who are killed, Meyer Kahane was not an American.
Right.
The ones who are killed, Americans, are usually liberals or progressives or Democrats or...
Right, I mean, you know, you got Wellstone, you got... you just go back...
It goes on and on. On and on. Sure.
And that's a very scary thing if we have a government that changes, I mean, right back to Kennedy.
Well, that's why I make no bones about the fact that I'm a liberal with a gun. As many as I can. I swear, I wish I lived in a society where guns were not necessary, but I don't live there. I live here.
No, we don't.
I live here in America in 2003, and I maintain. I believe in responsible gun ownership, but if you're not armed, you're a fool. Either that, or you're counting on the good nature of right wing crazies to spare your life when the barricades go up, and I'm not willing to do that.
I don't believe they will. One other quick thing. The last time that this country was running relatively well was back in the 60s when we had a progressive tax system.
Yeah.
And people could live. People only needed, dad only had to work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then they decided to change over from a progressive to a
regressive.
To what we have to now, to
right.
a regressive, if you would. And all of a sudden, we've lost the value of our money. We've lost the value of our, there's no wealth left in the middle class. They have just raped everything down the line.
And I've been told it's going to get much worse before it gets any better.
Before it gets any better, I believe you're correct.
Yeah. What you
but
say?
Nobody, you know, too many people don't see it. I mean, we've got down here in Florida, you got the FTAA going on now.
Yeah, that's the free trade of the Americas.
Right, which is just going to suck up great big jobs.
More jobs.
Right,
yeah.
And send them somewhere else.
I hear you. Hey, Mike, thanks for checking in, buddy.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, sir, you have
nice
a nice evening.
To you.
Okay, take care. All right, quick break here. When we come back, some comments from Too Stupid to Be President as he discusses the progress in Iraq with reporters on Sunday.
Never change, as she said. You're just a Coca-Cola cowboy. You got an Eastwood smile and Robert Redbird hair.
Rachel.
and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy, from the makers of Children's Tylenol. It has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
You hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah,
you
I was know. Expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month, you know.
I
want to
see you try the afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
Doug Stephan's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Show. Bruce Willis was in Iraq. Did you hear about this? He went to Telefar, I believe is the way you pronounce it. And he has a band, Accelerator, played some rock and roll, and, you know, there were hundreds of U.S. soldiers there. Anyway, after he did his rock and roll, he took the microphone. He said, we're here to support you, and that's fine, okay. But then he offered the soldiers listening $1 million out of his own pocket for the capture of Saddam Hussein. And then he said, and if you catch him, just give me 4 seconds with him. Isn't he just a man's man, huh?
Who are you, then? Just another American who thinks he's John Wayne, Rambo.
He's always kind of partial to Roy Rogers, actually.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to animal talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to animal talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Subliminal messages for you to misunderestimate. It's Mike Malloy. He's commonsensical.
24 past the hour. You know, Kathy and I were in Charlotte, North Carolina over the weekend at the Southern Christmas, what's it called? Show. Southern Christmas show at the Charlotte Civic Center? Merchandise Mart? Okay, I'll get it right. And I promised I was going to talk about that a little bit, but so many things have come up tonight. We may have to wait till tomorrow night. It was, yeah, I think I will, because I want to be able to do it justice. It's on all this week too. So if you're listening up there, you can go to the Merchandise Mart and check it out.
I also want to just warn the listeners that they need to have pen and paper handy when you do describe this story so that they can map out the Malloy family lineage, which is complicated.
I met a bunch of cousins while I was up in Charlotte. Yeah, it is kind of funny.
You need a flow chart.
Yeah, you need a flow chart to figure out some of my family. I have a cousin, Roger, who's a sculptor and an artist, whose work is on display at this Christmas show. And with him in the booth, in addition to his wife, is a woman who wrote a book about, well, it's fiction, but the main character in the book is based on my cousin Roger because of a sculpture that he did. And that's just the way the story begins. It just gets weirder and weirder. So maybe tomorrow night we'll try to get into that. All right? It's a lot of fun. We had a great time. We met, I won't say we met people we didn't know, family members, but except for my cousin Sharon.
Wait till they have the pen and paper.
Her twin sister.
And
Karen.
And the boyfriend, Jeff.
But and Jeff.
They should have the paper.
All right. We'll do that, too. We're going to have to do it tomorrow. George Bush. On one of the bloodiest weekends in Iraq ever. That's this past weekend. Here's what Bush had to say.
Hey, I spent some time in prayer for our servicemen and women who are in harm's way.
Oh, good for you.
Prayed for their families.
Oh, that's sweet.
Prayed for those who are still in harm's way, whether it be American troops or coalition troops.
Oh, that's kind.
The sacrifice that our folks are making in Iraq will serve our nation's interests.
Oil interests.
In the short term and long term. It's best to defeat the terrorists in Iraq so we don't have to defeat them here.
Yeah, George, we heard that. You know, we fight them here. We fight them in the streets of Saigon, or we'll fight them here. We'll fight them in the streets of Managua, or we'll fight them here, you know. Bush again discussing progress in Iraq with reporters on Sunday. So what's his assessment of this week's latest extreme violence in Iraq?
It was a tough week, but we made progress toward a sovereign and free Iraq.
Yeah.
The Iraqi Governing Council has laid out a timetable for the transfer of sovereignty. We're pleased.
No, they haven't.
With that timetable, we think it makes sense.
No.
On the one hand, the politics is moving on. On the other hand, we're going to stay tough.
Yeah.
And deal with the terrorists.
Bring them on. Bring them some bitches on. We're going to stay tough. As long as I'm back here protected by the United States military, bring them on. I'll go kill some more of our boys. Hell, I don't care. I'm over here in Washington. Well, I'll be in London here tomorrow. Reporter steps out of the pack and says, Mr. Bush, can you comment on the latest audio tape reportedly from Saddam Hussein that's being aired now?
I haven't seen the specifics. I suspect it's the same old stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's propaganda.
That's all
and,
it is. Yeah.
You know, we're not leaving until the job is done. Pure and simple.
Yeah, kill them
all. A free and peaceful Iraq. It will be a historic event.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he'd like to see us leave. In fact, it's his voice.
What?
And I know the elements of the Ba'athist Party, those who used to torture, maim, and kill in order to stay in power, would like to see us leave. We will do our job.
Just, I mean, doesn't that just grate on your nerves? He hasn't seen the specifics. I'm sure he meant he hasn't heard the specifics. No, he's only the commander-in-chief. He's only the president of the United States. Well, why should he bother with this stuff, right? Remember what he said. He doesn't read the paper. He doesn't pay any attention to any news. Why should he? It's the same old stuff. He gets his news from Condoleezza Rice.
Don't lie to fool us all. Never said you're sorry. Don't lie to go to war. And you laid it all to waste. You can tell your story any way you want to.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
The octopus is well known for its eight arms, and now it's drawing more attention for the extent of its intelligence. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. Scientists have long assumed that animals that are very different from human beings are not likely to show high levels of intelligence, but they're finding that the octopus has a pretty good head on its many shoulders. Jennifer Mather is a comparative psychologist at the University of Lethbridge in Alberta, Canada. She and other scientists studied the octopus to learn more about the nature of intelligence in the animal world. Mather says many scientists have been surprised to find that octopuses can find their way through mazes and solve other problems.
They're also good at very simple manipulation things, like taking the lid off a jar because there's a crab hiding inside the jar and they want to get at it. And that kind of thing has been suggested to be intelligence as well.
Mather suspects the octopus might be able to recognize individual people and maybe even hold a grudge. She recalls a time when she saw an octopus in a laboratory opening the lid of its tank, possibly trying to escape.
So I took my hand and I banged hard on the lid and it came down and knocked the octopus back into its tank. And I came back the next day, sat down on the stool. The octopus lifted the lid just far enough, aimed the siphon, and jetted a jet of water at me. And I thought, he's out to get me now. He knows I did it, and he's going to get me when I come back. And in fact, the animal repeated that several times. So that octopus probably figured out that I was bad trouble for it, and it was going to be bad trouble for me.
The octopus is a mollusk, which makes it related to clams, snails, and oysters. Mather says the brain power of the octopus shows that advanced intelligence can evolve in animals that are very different from human beings. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylor Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune into the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Free radio, only with Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour, Rob in Long Beach reminded me regarding attempts at assassinating right-wingers. How could we forget? There was a famous attempt on Reagan by John Hinckley back in 81. And then, of course, Sarah Jane Moore and Lynette Squeaky Fromm. Remember the attempted assassination on Gerald Ford? Thanks, Rob. All right. It's time, once again, kiddies, for Uncle Mike's Story Corner. Well, everybody comfy in their jammies, huh? Got a cup of hot cocoa? Gather around. It's time, once again, for Uncle Mike's Story Corner. Tonight, an open letter to GIs in Iraq from Stan Goff, a decorated Vietnam War veteran. Dear American service person in Iraq, I'm a retired veteran of the Army and my own son is among you, a paratrooper like I was. The changes that are happening to every one of you, some more extreme than others, are changes I know very well, so I'm going to say some things to you straight up in the language to which you are accustomed. In 1970, I was assigned to the 173rd Airborne Brigade, then based in northern Binh Dinh Province in what was then the Republic of Vietnam. When I went there, I had my head full of crap. Crap from the news media, crap from movies, crap about what it supposedly means to be a man, and crap from a lot of my know-nothing neighbors who would tell you plenty about Vietnam, even though they'd never been there, or to war at all. the essence of all this crap was that we had to stay the course in Vietnam and that we were on some mission to save good Vietnamese from bad Vietnamese and to keep the bad Vietnamese from hitting beachheads outside Oakland, California. We stayed the course until 58,000 Americans were dead and lots more maimed for life, and 3 million Southeast Asians were dead. Ex-military people and even many on active duty played a big part in finally bringing that crime, Vietnam, to a halt. When I started hearing about weapons of mass destruction that threatened the United States from Iraq, a shattered country that had endured almost a decade of trench war followed by an invasion and 12 years of sanctions, my first question was, how in the hell can anyone believe that this suffering country presents a threat to the United States? But then I remembered how many people had believed Vietnam threatened the United States, including me. When that BS story about weapons came apart like a $2 shirt, the politicians who cooked up this war told everyone, including you, that you would be greeted like great liberators. They told us that we were in Vietnam to make sure everyone there could vote. What they didn't tell me was that before I got there in 1970, the American Armed Forces had been burning villages, killing livestock, poisoning farmlands and forests, killing civilians for sport, bombing whole villages, and committing rapes and massacres. And the people who were grieving and raging over that weren't in a position to figure out the difference between me, just in country, and the people who had done those things to them. What they didn't tell you is that over 1.5 million Iraqis died between 1991 and 2003 from malnutrition, medical neglect, and bad sanitation. Over 500,000 of those who died were the weakest, the children, especially very young children. My son, who's over there now, has a baby. We visit with our grandson every chance we get. He's 11 months old now. Lots of you have children, so you know how easy it is to really love them, and love them so hard you just know your entire world would collapse if anything happened to them. Iraqis feel that way about their babies, too. And they are not going to forget that the United States government was largely responsible for the deaths of 500,000 kids. So the lie that you would be welcomed as liberators was just that, a lie. A lie for people in the United States to get them to open their purse for this obscenity, and a lie for you to pump you up for a fight. And when you put this into perspective, you know that if you were an Iraqi, you probably wouldn't be crazy about American soldiers taking over your towns and cities either. This is the tough reality I faced in Vietnam. I knew while I was there that if I were Vietnamese, I would have been one of the Viet Cong. But there we were, ordered into someone else's country, playing the role of occupier when we didn't know the people, their language, or their culture, with our head full of bull crap our so-called leaders had told us during training and in preparation for deployment, and even when we got there. So there we were, facing people who we were ordered to dominate, but any one of whom might be pumping mortars at us or firing AKs at us later that night. The question we started to ask is, who put us in this position? In our process of fighting to stay alive, and in their process of trying to expel an invader that violated their dignity, destroyed their property, and killed their innocents, we were faced off against each other by people who made these decisions in $5,000 suits, who laughed and slapped each other on the back in Washington, D.C. with their fat effing asses stuffed full of cordon bleu and caviar. They chumped us. Anyone can be chumped, and that's you now. You're just where there's fewer trees and less water. We haven't figured out how to stop the pasty-faced, oil-hungry backslappers in D.C. yet, and it looks like you all might be stuck there for a little longer, so I want to tell you the rest of the story. I changed over there in Vietnam, and they were not nice changes either. I started getting pulled into something that craved other people's pain. Just to make sure I wasn't regarded as an effing missionary or a possible rat, I learned how to fit myself into that group that was untouchable. People too crazy to F with. People who desire the rush of omnipotence that comes with setting someone's house on fire just for the pure hell of it. Or who could kill someone, man, woman, or child, with hardly a second thought. People who had the power of life and death because they could. And the anger helps. It's easy to hate everyone you can't trust because of your circumstances, and to rage about what you've seen, what has happened to you, and what you have done and can't take back. It was all an act for me. a cover-up for deeper fears I couldn't name. And the reason I know that is that we had to dehumanize our victims before we did the things we did. We knew deep down that what we were doing was wrong. So they became dinks or gooks, just like Iraqis are now being transformed into ragheads or hajis, people who had to be reduced to niggers before they could be lynched in this country. No difference. We convinced ourselves we had to kill them to survive, even when that wasn't true. But something inside us told us that so long as they were human beings with the same intrinsic value we had as human beings, we were not allowed to burn their homes and barns or kill their animals and sometimes even kill them. So we used these words, these new names, to reduce them, to strip them of their essential humanity. And then we could do things like adjust artillery fire into the cries of a baby. Until that baby was silenced, though, and here's the important thing to understand, that baby never surrendered her humanity. I did. We did. That's the thing you might not get until it's too late. When you take away the humanity of another, you kill your own humanity. You attack your own soul because it is standing in the way. So we finish our tour and we go back to our families, who can see that even though we function, we're empty and incapable of truly connecting to people anymore. And maybe we can go for months or maybe even years before we fill that void where we surrendered our humanity with chemicals, anesthetics, drugs, alcohol, until we realize that the void can never be filled and we shoot ourselves or head off into the street where we can disappear with the flotsam of society, or we hurt others, especially those who try to love us, and end up as another incarceration statistic or a mental patient. You can never escape that you became a racist because you made the excuse that you needed that to survive, that you took things away from people that you can never give back, or that you killed a piece of yourself that you may never get back. Some of us do. We get lucky and someone gives a damn enough to emotionally resuscitate us and bring us back to life. Many do not. I live with the rage every day of my life, even when no one sees it. You might hear it in my words. I hate being chumped. So here's my message to you. You will do what you have to do to survive, however you define survival, while we do what we have to do to stop this thing. But don't surrender your humanity. Not to fit in, not to prove yourself, not for an adrenaline rush, not to lash out when you're angry and frustrated, not for some ticket-punching, effing military careers to make his bones on, especially not for the Bush-Cheney gas and oil consortium. The big bosses are trying to gain control of the world's energy supplies to twist the arms of future economic competitors. That's what's going on, and you need to understand it. And then do what you need to do to hold on to your humanity. The system does that. Tells you you are some kind of hero action figure, but uses you as a gunman. They chump you. Your so-called civilian leadership sees you as an expendable commodity. They don't care about your nightmares, about the depleted uranium you're breathing, about the loneliness, the doubt, the pain, or about how your humanity is stripped away a piece at a time. They will cut your benefits, deny your illnesses, and hide your wounded and dead from the public. They already are. They don't care. So you have to. And to preserve your own humanity, you must recognize the humanity of the people whose nation you now occupy and know that both you and they are victims of the filthy rich bastards who are calling the shots. They are your enemies, the suits, and they are the enemies of peace, and they are the enemies of your families, especially if they are black families or immigrant families or poor families. They are thieves and bullies who take and never give, and they say they will never run in Iraq. But you and I know that they will never have to run because they effing aren't there. You are. They'll skin and grin while they're getting what they want from you and throw you away like a used condom when they're done. Ask the vets who are having their benefits slashed out from under them now. Bushfeld and their cronies are parasites, and they are the sole beneficiaries of the chaos you are learning to live in. They get the money. You get the prosthetic devices and the nightmares and the mysterious illnesses. So if your rage needs a target, there they are. Responsible for your being there and responsible for keeping you there. I can't tell you to disobey. That would probably run me afoul of the law. That will be a decision you'll have to take when and if the circumstances and your own conscience dictate. But it's perfectly legal for you to refuse illegal orders. And orders to abuse or attack civilians are illegal. Ordering you to keep silent about these crimes is also illegal. I can tell you, without fear of legal consequences, that you are never under any obligation to hate Iraqis, You are never under any obligation to give yourself over to racism and nihilism and the thirst to kill for the sake of killing. And you are never under any obligation to let them drive out the last vestiges of your capacity to see and tell the truth to yourself and to the world. You do not owe them your soul. Come home safe. And come home sane. The people who love you and who have loved you all your lives are waiting here, and we want you to come back and be able to look us in the face. Don't leave your souls in the dust there like another corpse. Hold on to your humanity. Stan Goff is the author of Hideous Dream, a soldier's memoir of the U.S. invasion of Haiti, and of the upcoming book Full Spectrum Disorder, The Military and the New American Century. He is a member of the Bring Them Home Now Coordinating Committee, and he's a retired Special Forces Master Sergeant, combat veteran, and the father of an active duty soldier. We will post this essay from Stan Goff at our website within the next 24 hours, and there's an email address. If you want to email Stan Goff, go ahead. As you know, he was on this program. When was it, Kathy? About 2-3 weeks ago?
Longer than that.
Back to Bush, discussing the progress in Iraq with reporters on Sunday. Okay, so W knows nothing about the Saddam take. Can he tell us anything about the helicopter crashes? Reporter says, Mr. President, what information do you have about the second chopper crash?
No more than you have, but sad. It's a sad day when we lose life. Doesn't matter whether it's a chopper crash or an IED, the loss of life is sad.
It's sad? That's it, Mr. Bush? It's sad. Another reporter says, Mr. President, do you see the use of surface-to-air missiles as an escalation in the conflict in Iraq?
Well, it's symptomatic of the fact that there was a lot of weapons lying around. And we just got to bring these killers to justice, which we will. And the military is adjusting. You've been reading about the fact that they're adjusting their strategy and their plans. And that's exactly what the commander-in-chief expects. Flexibility on the ground to change your response to a change of tactics with the enemy.
How's that working for you? You don't seem to be too flexible lately, you moron. That's what the commander-in-chief expects, flexibility on the ground to change. Hundreds of U.S. young men and women are being killed in Iraq. Thousands of Iraqi civilians are being killed in that country. And you stand there and say that the commander-in-chief, referring to yourself in the third person, has got to have flexibility? Flexibility. Scott McClellan. Press briefing today. Is it today? On the blackout of reporting the number of U.S. dead and maimed in Iraq, reporter says, Scott, can you explain why it's appropriate to limit any coverage at Dover Air Force Base of the fallen servicemen and women coming back?
I think those are questions to direct toward the military. They have some rules in place that have been in place, and I think you should direct those questions
to the White House.
Direct those questions to the military.
No view about that?
Our concern is always with the families.
Yeah. Our concern is always with the families. Our concern is that they won't give us their last son. Russell Mokhyber wants to know, Scott, Ambassador Bremer said yesterday that U.S. troops will remain on the ground in Iraq even after the government is elected there. What if the government asks the United States to get out? Will we get out?
I don't think that that's the case. The governing council themselves said that they would expect that they would remain, that we would remain as invited guests. That the coalition, forces, the security of Iraq is a very high priority, and we will continue to have discussions with the governing council as we move forward.
Remember last week when discussions was the word of the day? But what's this? We'll remain as invited guests. That's interesting.
Jesus don't want me for something. Something's out of my way. Don't explain.
thing made you cry. Wrong reasons, you have to die. Don't ever ask you.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your throat is all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on, this is a commercial for a major radio network. We should do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. I understand that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens have been listening to that Mike Malloy person pollute this great nation's airwaves for 3 hours every night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Surely you can find a more productive use of your evening hours, like organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly in your victory garden. Or you could spend the 3 hours simply standing in your yard, saluting the flag on your house, apartment, or trailer, or whatever you little people live in. I'm told some chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists every night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time when they feel the unnatural and un-American temptation to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. I'm certain in time you'll find the method that works best for you and your family. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Justice and the American Way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
Five before the hour. One more here from Simple Scotty McClellan at the press briefing today. Back to Russell Mokhyber. He tries to clarify his previous question that Scott McClellan was unable to handle. Mokhyber says, but the question is, let's say they elect a theocracy against your wishes over there in Iraq, Scotty. And the theocracy says, like in Iran, get out. Will we get out?
Well, we will continue to have discussions with the new interim government once it is in place. But I think that the Iraqi people have indicated in a number of different ways, if you look at polls, if you look at the governing council representatives, that they want us to stay until the job is finished.
But wouldn't we be finished once Iraq has a democratic government? What would be left then to finish, Scott? Just extracting the rest of their oil, right? Is that it? Leland, we have about 30 seconds. I'm sorry to do it to you, pal, but you called in very late. Welcome to the program.
Hi. 30 seconds is tough, but so let's see. I'll just pick one. Stopwar.org.uk is the national site for the coalition of groups that are
stopwar.org.uk. Okay, great.
And there's a lot of email addresses on there, and I chose to send a message of support, solidarity to them recently.
That's a good idea. A couple million Americans would log onto that website and send a message of solidarity. It might make a difference. Leland, I'm sorry we're out of time, pal.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Bye. Appreciate it. You guys got a call in earlier. You just really do. Program engineered in Detroit tonight by Jay Balecki, produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman is our announcer. Mark Marshall is the webmaster at MikeMalloy.com. Check it out if you haven't been there. Why not? Also, Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. Tomorrow, we'll tell you a little bit about the Southern, what was it called, Southern Christmas Show in Charlotte at the Trade Mart there. Merchandise Mart. Miles and miles, literally miles of Christmas booths. And some of my relatives were there, cousins and folks. So have your pen and paper handy, and I'll try to give you a flow chart. I'll see you tomorrow night, I hope. I really hope. Take care.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Here's Nancy in the background. Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air? Oh.
Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell.